clearly we have done exceptionally well because we have received a clean audit for the last three consecutive years. It is within that frame that we present to you certain issues around PPMs that we find problematic, bearing in mind, of course, that we are trying to move as quickly as we can towards full inclusion of the MTSF indicators within our APP. There are certain binding constraints that I think we need to present to you. One will be our financial pressures and all of the ability to develop systems in order to support data collection. All of the things that we are mentioning as binding constraints are including, they find its basis in financial constraints. And then other items like reportability and measurability are those things that are AG dependent. The AG requires, he has certain requirements, and therefore our APP hesitations are based on that. Other items within PPMs are human behavior driven items that we don't necessarily have control over directly, and therefore we have certain hesitancies. I just need to bring those to your attention. There are more if you wish, we can interrogate it. When the MTSF, as Gauteng and the Eastern Cape have brought to your attention, the AG hadn't, the DG hadn't, there hadn't been finality around whether the MTSF indicated they had to be included in our APP. Previously, it was then decided that it would be, and subsequently we tabled it as an in-year amendment, and it is now part of our current APP. And the new APP 1819 will contain the MTSF indicators as they've been redefined into PPM. So we are including all, but there are caveats attached. And the caveats are attached to particular items. That's just telling you what our current position is. Currently, you will find all of our PPMs in our new one, in our new 1819. You will find on our website the MTSF-aligned indicators, which we will report on in our 1718 annual report. So it is our intention to include all of the above. However, there will be certain targets that we will not be able to achieve, so you'll see that there will be a zero target in some instances. In fact, there's only one. Low targets in others, based primarily on the definitions that are required. And because quality is our primary objective, we're not going to push in high targets in particular. I'm looking at, if you want me to mention a PPM in particular, Suma, right now, a PPM that speaks to the PPM that speaks to teacher achievement. I can go and have a look and find exactly what the PPM number is, and I'll get there. Maybe let me just do it the way that I intend. I'm sorry, apologies. Let me take you to all of the PPMs directly, and I think, Madam Chair, this might be an opportunity for us to just bring everything in because I've got all of the PPMs here. The ones that are particular concern for us is the 101, where we are asked the number of public schools that use the SA SAMS electronically. For the Western Cape, that is a problem because we already have an automated online live system, CMIS. And we have 100% of the schools being able to access CMIS and being able to provide data through CMIS. Because the wording of this PPM, and as you've heard Gauteng mention, the auditor requires that you do not shift wording about, this becomes a problem for us because currently there are only 7 schools in the province who use SA SAMS. It is an offline system, and for us it's problematic to be able to report on this in any kind of quality-based way. So that one is a problem for us. Currently, you will see that PPM 105, percentage of 7 to 15-year-olds attending educational institutions, We include it, but bearing in mind that the data is received from General Household Survey and it might not be necessarily uniform across all of the PEDs. So we rely on data that we don't have control over, and that is our caveat and concern. The others are all approved. As you can see, we do have systems in place, and the comments provide you with what the systems are and what our concerns are. The other one that is a concern for us is PPN 202, percentage of children turned 9 in the previous year or currently enrolled in grade 4 in a higher grade. The definition really needs a little bit, it's clumsy. So just from the technical perspective, we just need to rework the definition of it because they don't speak directly to the title. Similarly, 203, learner absenteeism rate. It would be interesting for you to know that in the Western Cape, we are testing the biometric system in 4 pilot schools. But of course, it is prohibitively expensive, and given the current financial situation and given the drought crisis in particular, it's not likely that it's going to be rolled out large scale, but we are piloting biometrics. Ideally, if we had the money, we'd do it across all of our schools. There are systems in place for learner absenteeism and teacher absenteeism. The current rate for that is, for learner absenteeism, it's at 5%, and for teacher absenteeism, it's at 3%. And you'll notice that the percentages, there is a decline in percentage, which is actually indicative of an improvement in attendance, which is essentially what it's testing. All of the others we are quite okay with. Important to note that when it comes to number of educators trained in literacy language content, number of educators trained, across the Western Cape, the only training that we use to report on particularly are the ones that are presented at CTLI as 2-week courses. And currently there's about 3,000 teachers who attend courses annually at the CTLI for the 2-week courses. Of course, this does not indicate in any way all of the other trainings that happened that are 2-day trainings, that are on-site conferences, etc. But for auditing, because we're able to produce an audit trail of documentation and evidence, this is what we report on, the CTLI courses. Other ones that I think are important in terms of concerns are PPM 211, exactly like Gauteng, where this is the number of teachers who have written the self-diagnostic assessment. We have offered an alternate because our province focus is on e-learning. We do have an online automated self-assessment tool which the teachers can access on their phones. It's an app. But because it is focusing specifically on ICT skills to push up the level of ICT capability, it does not fall within the ambit of this particular PPM, which speaks to pedagogy. There was a national tool that was tested. Unfortunately, there were certain problems in compatibility with the tool itself and our system. So we weren't able to deploy it in the way that the DDE expects. We are working towards pushing our own tool or the DBE tool into the system, but we're not able to deliver on that exactly in the way DBE wants. Currently, it is 211, PPM 211. You'll see it on the board here, and it is page 15. It's on slide 15. Slide 15. Yeah, slide 15, PPM 211. So as I said, we're able to provide alternates that will not necessarily speak to the exact detail of the PPM, but we are certainly well on our way to doing self-diagnostic assessments. Again, please understand that the self-diagnostic assessments as well are voluntary. What we have found is because in the e-learning space, in the e-teacher development space, it's an app, the teachers feel way more inclined to actually do it that way, so it is a recommendation that that be something to be considered. Percentage of teachers meeting required contact knowledge levels of the support. Again, this can only be measured if you're doing pre and post evaluation, which currently in a is difficult. The expected requirement stands at 80%. So the PPM says meets required contact knowledge level. That required contact knowledge has been defined as 80%. Because it is so high, our numbers are very low. Our target is going to be very low. Our target, I can quote you, our target is 4%, and the reason for that is that we don't want to adjust the quality of the questions that we are asking in order to push up in any kind of false way. So the teachers achieving 80% and above at the moment is sitting at 80%, at 4%. Again, 214, number and percentage of Funjal Ushaka bursary holders. We approve that. We generally have no issues with it other than the calculation method clearly favors percentage, even though within the one indicator is asking number and percentage. It's very difficult when you're dealing with a system and you have to punch this kind of information into a system to try and do it into two indicators, really, two bits of information into one indicator. I'm sorry I've gone down to the details of it, because my colleagues have actually addressed most of the other concerns, and I'm just assisting Madam Chair with bringing it to this level. PPM 215, number of qualified grade of 12 teachers age 30 and below entering public service. I know that the members were concerned about the issue of grade R practitioners. It needs to be understood that grade R practitioners they are employed by SGBs, essentially. The education department employs foundation phase teachers. So when we provide information on this, we are able to report on it from grade 1 to grade 12. So that's the issue. When we say approve with reservations, it's not necessarily going to meet the full requirement of that PPM for the reasons stated. The other one, I'm on the next slide, slide 16 of 22. We're happy with all of the other PPMs. The one that we are most concerned with is PPM 219, number and percentage of learners who complete the whole curriculum each year. The methodology of calculation of that and the level of audit evidence trail that it goes to is going to be one that is not necessarily in our control, and it makes us risk averse. If we can find some kind of agreement, the province already does what is known as systemic testing, so we're already testing all the litmus, the math, and the language grade 369. And we've already got an automated system in place where schools upload when their targets are being met. So learners need to complete certain activities as part of their normal curriculum completion. If we can use that as evidence of learner completion of curriculum, we do have a system in place for that. But the PPM itself does not ask for that. We can offer what we've got as an alternate, but the evidence that they're looking for goes down to the learner's book. Now, given that the financial year and the academic year is not necessarily the same, one can understand the concerns And given that, even though the methodology that was suggested was that we identify a sample group, the auditor is not necessarily going to go to your sample group, but we can control the evidence trail. And this is the concern. Anything can happen. It's a behavior thing. It's a circumstances beyond our control kind of a PPM. The child can lose his books and so on and so forth. It's a very difficult thing to evidence down to a book, prove it in your book level. The other one is PPM 221. Percentages of SUVs in sample schools have been minimum criteria in terms of effectiveness every year. We approve it, and we're able to report on that. Our only concern is the understanding around effectiveness, and we're suggesting that when you're listing, producing your minutes of your meeting, that doesn't necessarily indicate, not an indicator for effectiveness is what we're suggesting. As you can see, those are the main items that are of concern with us. Everything else seems to be quite okay, and we're able to report on that. So I'm not going to bother you with that. I'm just going to suggest that Western Cape is happy to contribute to the finalization of the worrisome PPMs, which I know we will take up again with EDCOM subcommittee, and we will thrash out all of the details around the technical wording. Just in general, we're bringing up problematic and worrisome PPMs, and we happen to be one of those provinces who didn't sign off on everything, mainly because we believe that if we raising concerns strengthens the sector. It doesn't weaken the sector at all. And if we strengthen the sector, we strengthen our ability to deliver quality education. I think it's important also that we understand that in the Western Cape in particular, when we talk about provincial foci area, areas of foci, it's important to bring to the table the impact of drought, that the impact of drought will have on our targets and our ability to meet our targets. It doesn't speak very much to the PPMs, but I thought I'd bring it to the table anyway, it's a concern. Some of these PPMs do leave us deciding on our appetite for exposure when it comes to auditing. Our appetite is not very high, given the fact that we have had 3 years of clean audits, and we pretty like to keep it that way. And that's generally it, so thank you very much for your indulgence. I did take it down to the kind of detail that I thought you wanted to go to. I'm open to questions at the end of the round. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
What's that, 5 minutes?
Yeah, you get a drink. So we're noting down our questions on our members. Let me welcome the two MSCs that have just joined us. MSC from the Poco, thank you very much that you're with us. MSC from Ebelon Chale, MSC. I always confuse your province, but it's not okay, not where I knew that you were going to be the end. Punish me for what I'm doing. Thank you very much, MSC from Northwest, for joining us. You will get into the discussions as we are still going to take the discussions, because right now we're taking on the presentations and get into the discussions right after. Can we move to the next province, the Northern Cape? Oh, Western Cape is that? Who started? Was it Northwest or Northern Cape? It was not twice. So now it's not a case. Yeah. Without the presentation. Or we skip the Northern Cape because they don't have the presentation. We'll get into the questions. Okay, fine. Can I then come to Mpumalanga? Mpumalanga.
Where the sun is.
very biased to your province. We've got quite a number of members of this committee from your province, so I know even the questions will be more because of this number of honourable members that we have. Honourable Alice?
Thanks, Chair. In terms of one province, we asked them to go back and improve their presentation and send it to us within 7 days. Now we've got a province that's arrived with no presentation, and we're not even going to speak until the round. So I'm suggesting that what we should also do is ask them to send us a presentation, also in the next week or so, with some of their targets and how they're planning to incorporate them, so that we also know, it may not be done today, but at least we will get it in time, that we know what they also are going to be doing.
I agree with you there, but the HOD is here. He is going to talk to these issues as we engage, but the presentation is definitely Umalanga, remember you were not around when you introduced yourself. So before you even started the presentation, you would introduce yourself and your delegation then.
Honourable Chairperson and the honourable members, HODs and colleagues in one form, good afternoon. My name is Lucy Moyani, and I'm currently the acting HOD in the Department of Education in Mpumalanga. But in my everyday task, I'm the DDG responsible for curriculum in the province. And with me is Mr. Mtembu, our Director for Strategic Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. Mr. Mtembu? Proper Chairperson for us to really apologize for the mishap of last week before we are chastised. Yes, it's too late, but I think we must really say that for the record. As Mpumalanga, our understanding of the brief in terms of as we have read it, we have presented it here. It's our we actually are indicating how we have incorporated the MTSF indicators into our APP. And I would not be going through the presentation. You can see the 43-page presentation, but I will be selective in our response. But I want to indicate also, like how they indicated earlier on, that as the Department of Education in Mpumalanga, we're responsible for basic education, but we also are responsible for youth development. So the presentation, as indicated, the latter part of the presentation speaks to issues of youth development, but I would focus only on the basic education issues. We have, as a province, ensured that we incorporate all the indicators. I'm actually even being surprised that there was a choice. We thought there's no choice, we have to do it. So we have always been including all the indicators. But what we would then be having as a challenge would then be the target, mainly informed by the issues of the budget available or the human resources available. But in terms of the total package, that's what we would include. And for 2018-19, our draft plan includes all 55 indicators, but it also has additional indicators that are drawn from the provincial plans, the Mpumalanga Vision 2030. So those in the APP are indicated as program performance indicators, but all the PPMs are covered in the APP. And I would, Chairperson, show by example what we have incorporated. We are indicating here for outcome one. We have identified here the areas that are critical. Basically, these are, we have clustered the indicators into those four areas, and I would show later on how we are doing that. And indicating, for instance, that that priority area, as I've indicated in the four areas for clustering, which would be on teacher development, so we then have indicators. If we check the first one, that would be indicator 210 that speaks to the number of hours that teachers would spend on professional development, and we have given a target that we want to achieve in 2018-19, and will then indicate all the activities that we will be undertaking in terms of ensuring that at the end of the year we can then account for those indicators. The next one here, which is a point of discussion on the self-assessment that the teachers are doing. We have been doing that for a number of years now. And fortunately, as Mpumalanga, we have been part of the national pilot in terms of the self-evaluation tool for teachers, and we continue to do that. So that PPM, which is PPM, if I remember well, 211, is catered for in that. And we're indicating all the activities that we will be undertaking. There are indicators that would not really be driven by activities which are that we do on a daily basis. Indicators like where we're looking at the number of 9-year-olds that are in grade 4, the number of 12-year-olds that are in grade 4, we collect that information. In terms of the activity that we're indicating here, we can draw it back and find it in the indicator. The indicator that speaks to the number of schools that have a teacher for inclusive education, and we're indicating in that annual target 50% of schools with at least one educator with specialist training on inclusion, and would indicate in the actual effort that we are taking, we should then be recruiting the number of educators or the number of teachers that we enrolling on higher education, so that ultimately we're able to report on the achievement of that indicator. Overall, Chairperson, we're indicating all this. We can track each one of these targets to an indicator. I want to quickly go to the area where the discussion was earlier on around the Funza Lushaka. As Mpumalanga, we have not had a problem in terms of placement of Funza Lushaka. In that, when we report at the end of the financial year, we report in March. So we'll then be reporting on the number of Funza Lushaka educators that we have been able to place by end of March, which is, in this case, 3 months, and not 6 months as it is required by the indicator. But we have been able to place all the Funza Lushaka bezas within the 6 months period. But in terms of reporting, because of that disjuncture between the end of the academic year and the end of the financial year. But in terms of the actual activity, we're able to do that. We also have, in addition to the Funza Lushaka, we have provincial bursary holders, and we also put them in the same basket so that we're able to place all of them within a period of 6 years after they have completed their training. Oh, sorry, 6 months. Yeah. We're able to also track in terms of the young teachers. We can report on the young teachers, because we do have efforts that we undertake to go to the rural areas to recruit teachers from high schools that we take through a program. So we're able to tell how many new teachers, how many under 30s have entered the system for the first time. So we don't have problems in terms of reporting on those indicators. The only one indicator that was a challenge to us, but ultimately we resolved and we signed off on that, is 219. That speaks to the number of learners that complete the curriculum. And we have actually went through, engaged with all the program managers, and ultimately we agreed on methods of verification that we will be utilizing as a province. We still need to take our draft APP to the AG so that we can agree on how the indicators have been crafted, particularly the areas where we have opportunity to amend, which is the method of verification. So we will be meeting with the AG very soon. We actually agreed on that last week, that so that we can then confirm that indeed all the 55 are catered for. But in terms of the draft plan, they have all been catered for. And I would also go to the issue of all the infrastructure-related ones that are part of the presentation. And the issues relating to ECD, in terms of the grade R practitioners with a qualification at N2F level 6, we're able to report to that, mainly because the province has taken a conscious decision to employ a qualified grade R practitioners in grade R classes. So those that are practitioners, we have in total 2,065 grade R practitioners. We are constantly training them. We currently have about 829 of them that are following a national diploma, and as they qualify, they are then absorbed into the system and they continue teaching in grade R. And we then have a PPI then of the province that then speaks to the number of grade R practitioners, whether they do have the NPF level 6 or they don't have, which is a separate information that we collect. I've indicated, Shepherdson, that all the managers have signed off, and we monitor the implementation of these indicators on a quarterly basis. Also with the submission of the portfolio of evidence, and when the AG audits us, we're able to provide the evidence. Last year, we only qualified on one indicator, which is the indicator related to learner attendance. So in the same way as Gauteng has issues, has indicated, those are the issues that are troubling us, but we are dealing with them. We're hoping that this year will not be qualified on anything, because we have also put systems in place. Houghton spoke of 104 young people. We do have the same program where we're having in each second young people that go to the schools really to collect and verify the information so that we're able to address those issues. But the presentation is submitted, and the evidence in terms of all the 55 indicators, how we have included them in our APP, it is submitted. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kumalan. We have said much in such a way that one of the colleagues has been taken the way we have spoken. Thank you for that.
I wonder why, but...
No, I'm not switching.
No, honorable colleagues.
Firstly, would like to indicate that we were requested by the MCSHOP to come and represent them here. I'm Judith Amini, DG in the department in the KZN province. and I'm with the Director of Strategic Management, Monitoring and Evaluation, Mrs. Jabu Khoza. Chairperson, that the presentation from KZN takes cognizance of all the planning documents that are there, but also we were strictly guided by your guidelines in terms of the objectives of the roundtable, but also all the indicators that are said not to have been included in the 2017-18 plan, but also indicated those that the customized indicators that have been included in the draft ATP for 18-19, but also went further in terms of indicating the non-customized indicators aligned to the provincial growth and development strategy of the province, but also the 10 pillars of the province in the department. We have 10 pillars that we work within in terms of our program. But also in the presentation, you'll see the story of the alignment, you know, of our plans and programs with the NDP, and the MSTF. But also we've considered greatly the findings and the recommendations of the Auditor General, and we tried really to beef up things or to improve things and make sure that we are also covered in terms of those gaps identified in the area of the non-customized indicators. I will request Mrs. Jabu Khoza to make the presentation, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so
unpacked all those in the presentation. Then let's go to the program plan. Program 1, up to PPM 104, those would be the customized indicators. And then from PPM 105 to PPM 107, we are going to be including it in the APP, but we'll change the coding. It's no longer going to be PPM because it has been excluded as customized indicators. We'll put those indicators and non-customized indicators under program 1. We have a plan. We have indicated that some of these indicators are new to us, but we have set targets for 2018-19. In program, in the 9 customized indicators under program 1, we have included the MTSF indicators, as you see, those that have 100% targets, we have included them there. But also we have looked at the issues of equity, which is also contained in our provincial goal development plan, where in other oversight within the provinces require us to report on such, as you see that with regard to the women in SMS, we are still struggling there, but we are targeting to achieve. With regard to school principals, we had a problem. We haven't reached 50% EPT target, as well as in all other areas. We have set the target on the number of food handlers as well. We are, with regard to an SNP program, we are also providing opportunities for those women to be employed, as well as SNPs and cooperatives. We do have them in the province. When you go to program 2, the bulk of education delivery initiatives is confirmed for public ordinary schools. There are varied and different types of interventions provided by the department with a purpose to improve learner attainment at all grades in general for the improvement of NFC results in particular. The interventions include basic school functionality, effective curriculum delivery and learner attainment, teacher development, promotion of reading and stakeholder participation, school-based assessment, teacher training in the 10 subjects done by majority of learners, and the supply of revision materials. Under program 2, we also have the customized indicators up to PPM 209, which we have set our targets for. We have also learner absenteeism rate and teacher absenteeism rate that had a question. And in addressing that, the department is going to be implementing the South African SEM module that is going to enable us to track teacher absenteeism and learner absenteeism, and also ensure that we get those reports regularly from schools.
Can you say that because with those numbers, estimated performance, let me take them, that is 23 to 80. What's that 101? Where you say number of schools, or is number of schools?
Number of schools.
Out of how many?
There are 101 number of schools.
There are 101. Oh, okay. No, I wanted to know that it's fake so that we can make that picture as we move on. Thanks.
So it means you're
telling
me number. Yes. And then all the PPMs that start from 210 to PPM 223 are going to form part of the non-customized indicators, and we already have the key technical indicator descriptors that were agreed upon at national. So we are going to be utilizing those, and we have set our targets as they are. When it comes to the non-customized indicators here, we have on the issues of access, in program 2, we have percentage of learners benefiting from school nutrition. We have moved from 79% to 94% with the inclusion of Quintile 3 schools, and also with addressing the contestation. So we are at 94. We are targeting to feed 94% of those schools. And then we are also concerned that the province is dropout rate among
our learners. That is why we have this as a non-customized indicator. So although the percentage is low in the lower grades, but we need to reduce that percentage to at least 3% for 2018-19. We have a huge dropout rate in SEP 10 from grade 10 to 12, whereby learners in schools are about 10%. So as a result of, amongst other things, social ills, we are going to be having interventions to address that. But also we have close monitoring of the learner progression in our senior phase, where we see that some schools are exercising gatekeeping because of the results, and therefore they will withhold learners at grade 10 and 11, not to give them access to grade 12. So our circuit management is dealing with this, and we have intervention strategy to address that challenge. In program 3, we have all our PPMs and we don't have challenges with them. Under non-customized, we have those funded schools through the test for monitoring the number of funded schools. We haven't set a target in the form of increasing the number of learners in these schools, because we say as a province we need to improve quality in our own independent schools so that learners are attracted to go to independent schools. Although we know that there are learners that are going to independent schools, then we want to retain those numbers. In program 4, we also don't have problems with these indicators, and we are going to be increasing the number of learners that are having barriers to learning, as it is indicated here, as well as the number of therapists and specialist staff in public special schools. We have targeted 198 this year. We are going to be achieving as well on the 17 and 18. We have appointed non-professional staff. In non-customized indicators, that's where we are building our statistics there. And then we are talking about the learners that are assessing assessment, career guidance, remedial education, counseling and support programs in mainstream special and full service schools, in line with the national strategy of screening, identification, assessment and support strategy. So those were the numbers, and we have a qualification in regards to this, because some of the information that we have reported would come from Department of Health. And at the time of reporting, when AG was doing validation and verification of our output, they realized that the information hasn't been to the Department of Education, and as a result, we have under-reported on that one. In Program 5, we don't have a challenge with these measures, the nationally agreed upon measures. And we've set our target. We said we are going to be increasing the number of public schools that offer grade R, with the intention of ensuring that all our public primary schools do offer grade R classes. 4,010 this year from 3,996. And then with regards to the non-customized, we have number of subsidized community-based centers offering grade R, and from 30, we are increasing these schools to 57, and these institutions to 57 with the increase. With regards to the number of grade R practitioners employed in public ordinary schools, here we had 6,637. There is a decrease because when teachers qualify, they then are absorbed in the mainstream, and then they leave the grade R classes. In program 6, we have set our targets as they are there, and we don't have challenges in regards to this. Non-customized indicators. Here we have looked at the issues of creating opportunities for unemployed, in fighting the issues of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. These are the women that are benefiting from program 6 and youth, as well as disabled and SMEs that are benefiting, are going to be increased in this financial year to 450. With regards to program 7, these are the targets we want to achieve, 80%. We have intervention strategy. We are going to be implementing our academic improvement plan, and we are hopeful that as a province we will attain 80%. The non-customized indicators, number of schools with an NPS pass rate below 50%, we want to reduce the underperforming schools. And then here we were spending at 576, we have reduced it, and we have targeted to further reduce the schools to 576 for 2018-19. The number of marker assistants employed in fighting unemployment, poverty, and inequality, we are going to be improving those learners. So we have Chairperson, our planned intervention, and we are indicating the current status and the desired status on all the interventions that we have done today in this financial year. I don't know whether I have to go through each and every one of them or. And on that note.
Thank you very much. You definitely do the questions that you have come to. You are going to touch on those, but thank you for touch on the impact and where are you in the problems when it comes to that. Let's go to the last part, one province. Thank you very much.
And also incredible
outcomes, focus planning, and accountability system inculcated in schools through strengthening and management of our governance in all schools, and also all the registered independent schools regulated are supported annually according to the funding policy, and also issues relating to our special schools in terms of the improvement through the provisioning and support of the resources. In terms of our strategic goal number two, improved capacity and department to support delivery and quality education, the issues relating to our audit outcome, we will want to strive to obtain an unqualified audit opinion by the 1920, you recall that we with a disclaimer or the opinion, and again issues relating to the training of our educators as well as our administrative staff. In terms of the alignment of the NDP, MTSF and the APP, we'll just touch briefly, but clearly reflecting how the alignment has been done in for each and every area. So not go into one by one, but we have tried to match all of them so that we begin to track how we are doing in relation to all those particular areas. Chair, if you would allow, I'll skip them and just go to the progress in brief, how we have performed in those areas before I could deal with the issues relating to 18-19. In terms of our curriculum implementation, we're indicating that curriculum is being implemented in line with CAPS, and we have 51 of our schools that are also implementing the introduction of the incremental introduction of our African languages in grade 1 and 2. We also have 550 teachers from all the 10 districts that were inducted in our TVET colleges and on ICT integration. We still have challenges, Chair, around our SPA, but we're working very hard to make sure that the rejections that we are having in this aspect, we are able to put mechanisms in place to be able to address such. On issues relating to teacher placement, deployment, and development, one of the areas that we're still struggling, but we are hoping that there's going to be improvement in this regard, is the fact that the finalization of our post-establishment will always be placed, but we're going to improve in terms of our stakeholder management so that we don't have challenges around this particular aspect. In relation to LTSM, this was also one of the challenges that we suffered as a province. We're seeing great improvement in this regard in terms of the delivery of our LTSM. Finalized it in 2017 December, but however we want to strengthen the issues relating to the retrieval so that also in terms of the cost for the replacement we bring this down. In relation to rural focus, we strengthening the merging of our schools, because one of the challenges that we have picked up is that for us to be able to deal with the performance that we have achieved now, if we don't work hard to finalize the merging of our schools that are non-viable, will not be in a position to improve, but we're strengthening this particular aspect. So there are challenges, particularly around the resistance by the community, but we're continuously engaging with the community to make sure that they understand that we're doing this for the education purposes. On infrastructure, yes, we, in this regard, we continue to provide infrastructure to our schools. However, we still have huge challenges around the backlog in this aspect. We have finalized the condition assessment that was done by CSIR. The figures that came out are really shocking. In 2016, we were sitting around 21 billion for us to be able to finalize this. But however, when you look at what is our allocation on an annual basis, we still have challenges. But we continue to have engagement with our provincial treasury, CBE, and national treasury, so that we then begin to see how we can fast track this particular aspect. Because if we don't address it, it also has an impact in terms of teaching and learning in the classroom. On the issue of the district, Chair, we can indicate that we have moved away from the 5 education districts to 10, which also is going to be a relief, particularly in terms of the workload. What we are currently doing is to make sure that we resource those districts so that they fully stand on their own. However, also just to indicate that some of the challenges that we still have is issues around connectivity for most of our districts, but we're working with our sister departments to make sure that the connectivity is also finalized. Coming to in terms of, also maybe just to indicate that in terms of the guideline as provided by DBE, when we look at the number of learners and the seconds that we have, we're supposed to be sitting at 13 districts. So, but 10 for now is what we are trying to make sure that they are fully functional. In relation to the inclusion of the MTSS, the alignment of the indicators in the 84, 18, 19, Chair, what we have done was just to give an indication in terms of the MTSF indicator, to which one is it aligned to in our APP, whether we have also targeted for it, and whether there are challenges and what interventions are we taking to remedy such. So for the sake of time, Chair, I will not read particularly those that we have targeted for them. But also just to indicate on the second one, as much as we have included it in our 18-19 APP, issues of budget still remain a challenge, but we are continuously trying to improve in terms of alternative means to be able to make sure that we deal with this particular aspect. So also the coming ones we have also included. But also just to touch on the last one on the slide, percentage of learners in schools with at least one educator with specialist training on inclusion. This one is linked to our PPM 403 also. But the challenge in this regard is the difficulty for the department to recruit the specialists. Mainly here is the issue of the OSD, but we are continuously engaging with the social development and health so that we are beginning to see how best can we do this particular aspect. Also on this slide, all of them we have included. We have also linked them to our PPMs indicating the status, so I will not read them one by one. Similarly with these ones also we have included all of them. I'll only just focus, Chair, if you allow, on the ones that we did not the one now in blue, percentage of schools with adequate infrastructure in line with the agreed norms. This is also one of, as much as we have schools, most of our schools are not in line with the agreed norms and standards. Also from the condition assessment that was done, there is still a lot of work that we need to do. Next one is also the percentage of learners having access to the required workbooks per grade. The workbooks are provided by DBE, so we did not include that in our APP. On the next one, on percentage of learners having access to broadband, as much as we've also targeted for it, PPM 106, issues of funding, but how we are getting around this particular aspect is that funding has been allocated to LIDET to use one of our agencies, which is Limpopo Connection, to deal with the issues of broadband in the province, which will ultimately address the issues that we have around access by learners through connectivity and in that aspect.
proportion of principals appointed based on competency assessment process per year, and the proportion of principals who have signed performance agreement each year. These two as well, Chair, we did not include in our APP. It is a matter that is still negotiated in the council, so also the lead in this regard would be DBE, but we're keeping track in terms of the development in that aspect so that by the time it's finalized, we also want both to be able to make sure that we comply. Chair, these ones, I will also not talk to them one by one, but we have linked. The next one also is percentage of district managers whose competencies have been assessed against the criteria and the peer roles, and as well is also the same as the one for the principals. DBE is taking the lead in this regard. In conclusion, we're recommending that the report from the Limpopo Department of Education be noted.
Thank you very much. By the colors of the Eastern Cape. Of the Eastern Cape. I think I'm also attracted to this color. Thank you very much.
Come again?
Northern Cape.
Gonna be red in the Northern Cape once.
Yeah, we're watching the colors from the Northern Cape. Northern Cape, can we give you an opportunity?
No, thank you, Chairperson, and Honorable Members. Having submitted apologies, of course, to the Commission Chairperson, that we will, as guided by the members of the portfolio committee, we will submit the presentation before end of the week after a week. However, like we've been trying to say myself and the SEO, most of the issues that the colleagues have been presenting on in terms of the indicators, they are cross-cutting. For example, when I was listening to Gauteng, you sometimes wish that you would have been in Gauteng where people say they don't have problems with teachers. Where I come from, like the former HUD of Gauteng used to say, when you are in Pretoria, now you are among people because where you come from, it's grass and now, here I hear today that they don't have problems with teachers. With us, it's totally different. Being a historical anomaly, where, as it would have happened this year, I think end of last year, we had the first teachers qualifying from Southwest University. Unlike how it is a problem for Gauteng to appoint them. When they were graduating, Honorable Chair, the NDC was ready to appoint them permanently on the spot. That's how we appreciate it. We've never had a university, and therefore, as and when we get people graduating, qualifying as teachers, we don't even wait for 3 months to place them. We appoint them on the spot. And our problem comes from largely a fair balance between the utilization of English and Afrikaans as a language, as languages of learning and teaching. In our province, we have a dire shortage of Afrikaans learning of teaching and learning, language of learning and teaching. Because what has happened over the years is that we have merged in the small dorpies schools that were ex-DG, ex-HOR, ex-CD. And more often than not, if you go towards the Plateland, we rely largely on the Western Cape and Eastern Cape for teachers that have been trained to teach in Afrikaans. It's only now that we formalized the partnership with Old Mutual and the newspaper Rapport, together with the University of Stellenbosch, that we will pay for up to 50 every year students that are prepared to do teaching and qualify in the language of Afrikaans, both in Afrikaans and mathematics. only that, the farmer like that last year, that we need to do something in terms of appointing and retaining educators in Africa. So the indicators see themselves differently compared to what us. We don't have a problem with appointing Funza Lusaka. Either the Funza Lusaka or otherwise finance person who has trained as an educator, we appoint them. And that's how it plays itself. In terms of the audit outcomes, we must assure members of the portfolio committee, all of us as accounting officers, we all want to look like the Western Cape. It has maintained a clean audit for the past 3 years. For all of us, we should have had at some point where audit outcomes were not what we were supposed to, but because with the assistance and support of DVE, the majority of PDEs are maintaining at least unqualified, and the step for all of us is to move to clean audit like the West End. In terms of the other indicators, in the same way that which don't include those, for example, proportion of principals who have signed a performance agreement. We know as part of a condition of employment, this has to be finalized at a level of the ELRC. And one of the others, or percentage of learners who complete the whole curriculum. Our view is there has been a little deviation from what we see is the principles of outcome-based education. When we're talking about competencies and outcomes, we're looking at when you talk about a child having completed and being ready to move to the next, we're talking about phases. Is this child in grade 1, 2, 3 mastered competencies that are able to put him in the next phase, intercent and general education up to ST? And probably we need to factor in those kind of things. Percentage of school principals rating the support services of districts as the secretary. We also did not include because we view that DVE started to track this indicator. It should continue like that. And of course, DVE is responsible for the support even of districts, including district managers and the rest. Percentage of district managers whose competency has been assessed against criteria. Of course, we're still looking at us agreeing, because anyway, district directors are senior managers. Before they get appointed, they go through competency tests. To what extent do we monitor from there on, once they have been proven to be competent enough as senior managers, complete and consistent post-provisioning policy and legislation that has been included, because we do not have a history of any bottlenecks in terms of providing post-provisioning from 1 year to another. We've been on track ever since. What we're doing, we probably have to adjust. Now that we've got a problem with our budget in terms of the number of educator posts that we have in the system, which has been changing as a result of a learner number increase. I know people will say, oh, not that again. Learner number increase. But indeed, we've got a cumulative learner number increase of close to 25,000 without any adjustment in our baseline. For now, we're sitting at a point where we have to get it close to 602 posts that have not been empowered through a baseline adjustment in our historical past. So we're seriously having a problem, which is even compounded by when honorable members were raising the issue of the infrastructure PPMs providing electricity. We now see a serious problem where most of our schools, electricity is cut. Sometimes not because of them, because it's the municipalities that are owning ESCO. And as a result, they come to suffer because of being part of a municipality that has got a problem. However, from our side, we have been able in the last 3 years to what we call bail out to certain schools. And what is surprising is the rest remains the same. School Act in Emtanjeni municipality will come again for bail out. Under primary in California will come again. And as a result, with the problem that we are having with our personnel budgets, we do not, and we are not able to afford to bail them out. And in itself, it's a problem, Honorable Chair and members. I have always been raising this, even among the colleagues, that we have two policies that are supposed to be broke for in the sector education. In the sector education, we've got a proper policy that talks about healthy paying schools. It's about cushioning poor children from poor households. And when it comes to local government sector, we've got what you call indigenous policy. It does the same. It cushions poor households from municipal services. But when the child goes to school, they lose their status of being so poor. They would be at home and not paying for municipal services because they get paid through the indigenous policy. But immediately when they go to school, whatever goes to school following the child, the municipalities claims it by making the schools to pay services. Meaning that the child is safe when he, she is at home because they enjoy free municipal services, but when they are at school, they have to pay for it. Not only that, we even take it further in the sense that a number of municipalities are charging our school business rates. Whatever you transfer to schools in terms of Section 21, it's taken largely by payment of municipal services. We can go and look at their budgets and their expenditures. Most of that money goes to municipal services, precisely because they get charged business rates. I think that was my 2 cents worth of understanding that I still have to send the report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Yeah. We just reminded me of one other thing where much we are still going to engage with the department, because it's one of the topics that we dealt with where the department was going to sit with the COG to discuss this issue of municipal services and schools. We're still waiting for the report, and I even remember we even agreed that we need to have maybe a joint committee with COG so that we can look at this issue, because throughout in all the provinces it's one big issue that our schools are facing, and it's one thing that we need to make it around. Thank you very much, Northern Cape. But I'm happy because you are still saying you still owe us a report. I was going to raise our disappointment, but we have raised so many good points, but with the report we are still owing us that report. Thank you very much. I think we have come to the end of all the presentations from the provinces. But before I open up, I'd now concern honourable members and honourable members to say whose competence is the issue of broadband, because we're not getting the same, you know, it's one thing, we're talking about the post-industrial revolution, it's one thing that we're looking at. Now if we keep on pushing it, you know, from province to DVE and so forth, we see other provinces, they are doing this thing, but other provinces will say, no, that's not our competence, we don't even want to touch on that. But others do account just to say there is something that, you know. For me, the question would be, what is it that you are doing? Where do you really locate that competence so that we can see things? Because everything, from what I've gathered here, there are provinces that are not going to move just because, you know, we are shifting these competences from provincial to be, but we are all under one room. That's what we are going to discuss about. Let me open up then, honourable members, let's engage with all the presentations that have been made to us. Honourable Corsario, stand up.
Let me see. It should be cosine, olive, with Z, or shof. My Chelsea, Mokoto. I'm not sure Honorable members what I'm getting from the news. Not that I'm looking at the news. The postponed made of stone. So we can But yeah, let us continue. No, I didn't want us to get there. I was just. It was just by the way. But that should get when you get to use 24 and all that. But fine, we are not there. That's not our topic for now. We're not there. Honorable Constance.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to all the presenters. I'm going to start the Chair with my children, Mpumalanga. Chair, it is reported that 100% textbook receivers. I just want to talk to this one because on oversight, we found that this is a serious challenge, the retrieval of textbooks. How possible is it that we can have 100% retrieval? Because the majority of the schools do not even have a policy on retrieval, and raising it as a challenge that the learners are not bringing books back. I request that where possible, this issue needs to be revisited to check the validity of this percentage. On improvement plan, Chairperson, they have indicated that those schools who obtain below 70% are prioritized for assistance. But to me, it's also a challenge because where those schools that we visit in January to check the performance and congratulate those who performed better. Those who in 2015 achieved 24%, 80%, after visiting them go to 80%, when you don't go back to them, they drop. So I'm worried if we are only going to look at those who underperformed. Because those who performed better after visiting, they drop if you don't visit them. I just ask them to, do you want us to come and babysit you? That was the question I was asking them that day. We're not going to babysit you. Even the seconds cannot come and babysit the school. But I think with regard to assistance, even those that have performed, let's go and make it a point that we up them to achieve 100%. The other issue on improvement plan, Chairperson, is that the other challenge is the teaching time. We don't have sufficient teaching time. Most of the schools in the province, Chairperson, when we are to close this week Friday, majority of them are closed by last week. Remember, Chair, I once chatted to you that I went to the second to raise the issue. The second man said, "I'm from a town. The schools are still busy. That in class on Friday of closing, but our schools in the rural areas and townships closed last week." The response, you remember, Chair, I said, the second part I said, because the principal do not listen to me, they don't respect me. Then I said to him, but it means you are not there. I just said so. You are not there, there's no second manager if you are to respond like that. Because this is one of your responsibilities to see to it that, yes,
teaching time must be respected in that regard. They are raising so lots of issues with regard to issues of closing early, the marking issue and the like, but I was just expecting that maybe the department knows something about it. Why are they closing a week before they were supposed to be closing? We close three times in a year. It means that we've got 15 days wasted only on that issue. Not talking about the issues of the memorial services and many things. So, it's a specific circuit, okay, a circuit that Kutu circuit that I visited. But most circuits happen to do that, but the one that I visited is Kutu circuit, where in a, I went there again, to check with the circuit manager, but there is no improvement in that regard. To KZN, I just wanted to check as to whether they've identified the challenges with regard to dropouts. And if you have identified the challenges, are they winnable? Because you have indicated that you will improve much on that. It is also reported by KZN that educators, but I will need clarity on this one, educators in special and full-service schools. What qualifications are we talking about here? If we really say we do have those teachers, are they qualified to deal with those learners with serious disabilities? The other issue they indicated was equity chairperson. This is cross-cutting. The manner in which we are addressing the issue of equity, I'm foreseeing a challenge that come 2035, we'll start to say, let us appoint men. Because what is happening today, when there's a post, it's just a woman. You know, I'm not against that, but we need to at least mix. We need to, I don't have a problem, she can shout. Yeah, but we need to at least mix if we are. We've got five posts, four must be women, one be a man, but not that five, because I'm saying in 2030, 2035, we'll say we no longer have male. I'm raising this chair in a district in Bushaven. The newly appointed circuit managers, there are four of them, they're all women. They're all women. Yes, it's good, but we also need to not to create a problem where it will say now let's go back to start appointing men. The last I'm just raising it there. Yes, this is another province that is giving us good results. But the challenge with the province, I don't know if the MEC has realized that, is that where they pass, it's with flying colors. And where they fade, they're down. And this happens in regions. You know, I don't know what can be the challenge there. You see, there is a certain area wherein you see their performance is very high. Those areas where the performance is very low, it just works. I don't know if really there is a turnaround strategy to ensure that at least they try to equal. Then the other issue with Limpopo is it's with regard to the retrieval of a book as a challenge. I also would want to know the turnaround strategy to ensure that they have policies and implement such policies so that we don't spend much on buying textbooks. Lastly, Chair, the increase of distance from 5 to 10, and I'm not sure if I've heard them very well, from 5 to 10, I'm just concerned to, are we not going to spend much on salaries than service delivery? What is the current percentage spending with regard to service delivery and salaries? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable. I'm laughing because, you know, I am laughing because I was, one thing that I wanted to say, I was going to thank you for increasing those districts for the effectiveness of monitoring, because it was too huge, mm-hmm. I said. So, but it's so interesting when we take discussions, because already it's fine, but we might have, you know, those contradicting understanding of these things. For me, really, I was going to say thank you very much, because it's one thing that you have been complaining about. Your district has been too huge, and you couldn't, so it was a good move, but I'm saying that, but it's open for discussion so that we see the effectiveness of monitoring, because that's what we are concerned about. But on the issue of then the spending, so Honorable Collins raised that question. Honorable Collins.
Thank you. The East Cape, I've got two questions for you, please. The first one is the same question I've been asking the whole morning about how you monitor school principals' attendance. I just want to know, do you look at that under one of your other indicators, or do you use internal management procedures? How do you monitor currently? I visited one of your schools last week, and in a rural area, although you don't classify it as rural, you classify it as urban. The principal the previous week had missed attending the school 3 days of the week. The week I was there, the day I was there, he was not there either. He was called to a departmental meeting. And he's the only math teacher in the school. So out of 2 weeks, that's 10 days, he wasn't at the school for 4 days out of the 10, and no one else at the school could teach maths to the children. So I want to know what you do to monitor that sort of thing. And then your scholar transport, I don't know how you monitor this either, but there is a particular school, and I've asked for the name of the school. I didn't visit it myself, but I've asked for them to send me the name of the school. But apparently the people providing, the service provider providing the scholar transport, did not receive their full allocation of funds. And so what they've done is that on Monday and Wednesday they transport half of the kids to the school, and on Tuesday and Thursday they transport the other half. I don't know what they're doing on a Friday. But how are you monitoring the paying of the funds to actual service providers who are delivering scholar transport? Because there are, that's only one I mentioned, but there are many other cases I'm hearing from the Eastern Cape where the scholar transport is not there. In fact, the school that I visited, they were required to take over grade 8 and 9s from 3 other schools in the area. They were not previously doing grade 8 and 9. Now they're doing grade 8 and 9 as well. But the scholar transport that was allocated to move those grade 8 and 9s from 3 other schools to this school has never materialized. And some of those kids are walking over 10 kilometers. And, you know, the policies are in place, the systems are in place, but there's a breakdown with the monitoring. And these are all the monitoring indicators. So I'm wondering, with scholar transport and with the principal attendance, what system or what PPMs or whatever you're using to monitor those two issues. If I can go to KZN, it's the same story really. Eastern Cape and the KZN seem to have common issues. these two very big provinces, and they seem to have also similar rural schools and rationalization of school problems and so on. And you have the same issues there, and I want to know about your monitoring of principals and teachers. The presenter said we are going to implement SAMs for monitoring teacher attendance. So Chairperson, my question is, what are they doing now? What system are they using now to monitor teacher attendance? Does the provincial office know who is attending and who is not attending? If you don't use SAMs, what are you using currently? So, and then in terms of your principals, how do you monitor the attendance of the principals? Is there a PPM you are using to monitor the principals, or how do you know the school principals actually arrive at school every day? Somehow there must be a system to monitor that. Limpopo, if you can tell me similarly how you monitor teacher attendance and school principal attendance. And then I see in Mpumalanga, it's your presentation says you are monitoring teacher attendance through SAMS, but we had the presenter from Gauteng tell us that the Auditor General is not happy with that only, just SAMS. They want documentary evidence. So how are you coping with the Auditor General's request in Mpumalanga? If you are using SAMS, what about the documentation that the Auditor General seems to want to see? How are you monitoring principals? Because this is about school teachers. I also want to know how you're monitoring principals. It's the same two questions, basically, Chair. But the provinces have different responses, and they seem to be monitoring in different ways. And I don't think it's working, because if you get in your car now and you drive to schools anywhere in the country, you'll find absenteeism that's not reported. The principal just doesn't pitch. And the more rural the area is, the more likely it is they can get away with it, because people don't drive out there to have a look at what's going on. Thanks, Chair. I'm done.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I want to start with the last part one or last province, Northern Cape, where there was the information that their enrollment has gone up by something like 25,000 learners, and there is a requirement of 602 posts, but because of budget-related matters, they can't afford, you know, funding those posts. And I want to find out if this is the first platform where they are raising this matter with the department, or they've raised it with other departments, because to me, it says that there is a problem if this is true. 25,000 learners is a very big number, and 602 posts really. And I think, as you know, collectively must be doing something. I know there is no money, but you know, this is a very big number. So I wanted to give that comment and find clarity. But also, Chairperson, KZN, somewhere in the report it appears that they are able to place 100% of the Funza Lushaga graduates within 6 months. And I want to say to them, they must go back and verify their facts. It's not true. Like I said earlier on before they arrived, that there are students who qualified not last year, the year before last. They are unemployed even today. And I've met some even early this year saying that they have not been placed. I can actually provide them with a list if they want me to prove that. But if they get this 100% from the database, it means their database is incorrect, because there are some that have, I know 3 or 4 who have already graduated, they have not been placed. But I can provide the list, Honorable Chair, to the portfolio committee to say the information is not true that they are providing. And secondly, Honorable Chair, you'll remember that last year I raised the matter with the issue of Funza Lushaka, the way it is handled in KZN, that it has some corruptive practices. And I'm happy that at this level, Honorable Chair, this level of the Portfolio Committee, the Portfolio Committee has done justice on the matter because they had sent information in the province. But the problem, if I may put it, is that when the HOD or whoever was sending people to investigate now from the informants, they were sending the very same people who are involved on the matter. One informant told me that he made a call on the number that had called him to request 10,000 rand to be employed. And the phone rang among the members, among the team. So that, to me, is putting the life of those who assist us about corrective measures at risk. And that matter has not been solved even now. I did report here in the Portfolio Committee. I was advised to write a letter. Mr. Brown is aware. That's why I'm saying at this level, the committee has done all it can do. For the province was to investigate correctly and charge those that are actually implicated on the matter, but it has not. Instead, those who were requested to actually bring the information, the province sent the very same people who are involved. I can give evidence as well of that, Honorable Chair. So I'm saying they need to go and strengthen the measures, you know, in the unit that handles these funds and shares. Because even those who have called, who studied, whether were self-funded or by NSFAS, they are being phoned to say that, no, come, we'll give you a letter. You'll go to a certain school. You'll pay that particular amount. It is happening in Umkhanyavude. I've got, again, facts and people I can come and say, this one was requested this amount. So they need to strengthen, you know, in their office. And I think Dr. Nzama knows about this story, because he's been involved in the investigation. But I'm saying those you were sending to investigate the matter are the very same people who are implicated on the matter, and that puts the life of the informants at risk. Honorable Chair, somewhere it appears in the report again that there are 10 new schools that have been built. I'm not sure that it's projects within the schools that were existing that has been built and completed. I would love to, even if it's not in this meeting, but I would love to know these schools, because I reside in KwaZulu-Natal and I've not seen some new schools just recently that has been built and completed. They are only ready for occupation. The ones I used to see are the ones that are existing or were completed 4 years back, 3-4 years back, but not just recently, as this report I think must be a recent one. And I am appealing, Chair, that as we raise these matters, somewhere some projects are still in progress, and I know that the majority of those projects will be in Umkhanyavude. And I've raised those things as well, that there are unfinished projects there in Umkhanyavude. They are still in progress, you know. Please look also, Chair, at the issue of maintenance. While you may wish to build new schools because of the demand, but you must look at existing infrastructure. You remember, Chair, one day I raised a matter here in the Portfolio Committee, but further, because by that time you were still on leave, Chair, I raised the matter that there is a school that uses JoJo tanks for a septic tank system, JoJo tanks. That primary school has 1,200 plus learners. The pitch toilets that were built there some years back are now full. It is difficult for you. See, it's a disaster. And the name of that school is Buhlebemvelo Primary School. Buhlebemvelo. It is in Umkhanyavude, in Mtubatuba. It is there. It's
I'm talking about something that you can come. In the same school, for example, a teacher who qualified, I mean a security guard who developed himself and studied for a Bachelor of Education degree, qualified for that and was employed in another school, that school has no security today. In another nearby school, Kanya, for example, chair, the clerk, there is no clerk at school, and is said to be in another school, chair, you know. So I'm saying, let's attend to these things, you know. I'm not saying like, or sounding like attacking, but I would have been happy if Dr. Mzamo was here, because I've raised these matters with him, you know, telephonically. I don't know him by, you know, in person, but I've raised the matters with him to say that they must be fixed, and they have not. But last thing, Che, I want to request you, or request the presenters, to actually assure this portfolio committee that since there is a, I'm not sure that it's a good commercial term, a withdrawal of a tender for the supply or for the nutrition program. I think the court has ruled and the department has adhered to the ruling. So they have cancelled the tender. Can you then assure us that there will be no disturbance in the, you know, in the rolling out of this nutrition program in schools, because we are worried as we see it. And also request that in the future, you know, we must actually try and prevent disputes, you know, for these things, because you know that they are highly contested. And I think this is the only province where this tender has been, you know, highly disputed until when it was, you know, it is in the court of laws. All the other provinces, they may have some problems, but not that much. I needed to actually say that. There are many things I can say, but because of time, I would rather, you know, liaise with the presenters so that even outside the meeting, we can continue engaging, because other members must also have a chance to engage in the report. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Wilson. Honorable Bishop.
Thank you very much. I'm on green to the earth. Thank you very much. My first question goes to the Eastern Cape. You speak of considerable migration into and out of. And I have information that there are schools, 8 of them, that have learners with up to 100 learners in a class. I don't want to give you all the names. I'll give them to you after the meeting. Otherwise, I'm going to make a fool of myself because I cannot pronounce all of them. So if that's okay with you, Chair, to give the names to the Eastern Cape, or would you like to hear them?
Record purposes for
communicating the follow-up. Okay, excuse the pronunciation. Okay, the first one is Elliot Dale Junior Secondary School, 127 in a class. The KUYGA Primary, grade 1, 83. St. Albans Primary, grade 2, 75. And in the other classes, there are up to 60. Yeah. And then the other one is QUMBU. It's a multi-grade class with 65 to 70. Ribic combined, Ribic East combined, foundation phase 64, Nornizi, LUZIPHO, grade R 55, Zomakile, and this grade 3, 87, and then MDA NSANE, grade 3, 61, and grade 2, 65. That is of great concern, because this is actually crowd control and not teaching. That's all for the Eastern Cape. With regard to KZN and Mpumalanga and Limpopo, they're the only ones that actually spoke to inclusive education. But what is worrisome is that the percentage of learners in schools with at least one educator with specialist training on inclusion. You cannot only have one learner, one teacher. It cannot work. There must be more specialized teachers in that regard. And then with regard to KZN, number of therapists or specialists in public special schools. You say that it's 198. Where are these specialists placed? Are they at the schools or are they at the district or at the department? And what was the impact on your budget? And that goes for Limpopo and and Mpumalanga as well. That's that on KZN. Limpopo, I'm finished with now. Mpumalanga, unfortunately for you, Mpumalanga, we were on oversight, so there are some few questions that are going to come out.
Yes.
Colleague has touched on the security issue. This needs to be looked at seriously because most of the schools are in very rural areas and there is no security, so there's a walkthrough of anybody. I want to know if an agreement has been reached between the Public Works, Roads and Transport and the PED with regard to the payment of the Public Works, Roads and Transport, because many a time our children are not transported in Mpumalanga because the payment from the PED hasn't been transferred to Public Works, etc., etc. Then we were told that our MST schools, you speak about textbooks are readily available, but our MST schools and many other schools that provide maths and science don't have textbooks. So we need to receive an answer on that. And the reason cited is that there are budget cuts. So these budget cuts are going to negatively impact not on textbooks only, but on the whole curriculum. Then I would like to know, currently Schoemansdal Combined School is not open for learning at all. The parents are peacefully protesting with the learners because they say they're tired of sending their children to schools where there is absolutely no infrastructure. And the other thing that bothers me is that these parents, it's a no-fee school, but they're paying 80 rand a month towards the school development fund. Why must the parent develop the school if there is an education department? Chair, bear with me. Now I'll leave that for my colleague. That's her question. The chair spoke about broadband not being able to be rolled out and who is responsible for it. What we found on oversight is that the schools were complaining about their routers. The routers do not function and they do not have the capacity, the budgetary capacity to buy Wi-Fi because it's a little expensive. Then I'd like to know on page 12, you say, this comes back to my previous question, 1,000 maths and science teachers trained through the MST Academy has been done. Where have these teachers been placed? Because we get complaints in Mpumalanga that we don't have enough teachers. With regard to the new mega farm school, the Tamachiro mega farm school, I'd just like to know if the schools have, the parents have been consulted and which schools are earmarked to be closed, because I visited schools in that area and one of the schools that is earmarked is not a non-viable school. They have 300 to 400 learners in the school currently, so why is that one being closed? And then I'd also like to know from Mpumalanga, this school was initially earmarked to be built at the Coromandel farm. Why has it been moved to Beerkraal? I would like to take up the problem that, and again I cannot pronounce it, Homuzeya school. It's a primary school in the Bosha Bela region. They currently have 110 grade R's in a class and 87 grade 7's. Also just not acceptable. What is going to be done about that? And then they have to buy their own water. It costs them 600 rand a week because they don't have running water. The principal and his staff have improvised by putting out buckets to be able to allow the children to be able to wash their hands and so forth. But for a school with that's a no-fee paying school that has to buy water, I just cannot see them making it through the year. Then you speak about, on page 19, broadcast lessons to all MSTA schools. Now, which radio stations are being used, and can you verify the number of teachers that tune in to determine if it is a viable exercise? Now, throughout our visit last week and our personal oversight, we cannot accept the fact that textbooks are being delivered and that it's a 100% exercise. Every single school that we visit have a problem with regard to textbooks. Maths and science is a huge problem. And Chair, thank you very much for indulging me.
On the access part, I don't know which part of the page is that one. There's a column which reads to increase and maintain the participation rate, and then you spoke about top right dropout rate among the grades R to 9, and you said you want to maintain the 4%. Do you have any strategy to at least decrease? Because it looks like in 2017-18 is 4%, 2018-19 is still 4%. So are you not having any strategy to improve? On this same other page, if I can get an explanation, the contribution addressing challenges of poverty, unemployment and inequality. There are estimates and targets that you have put for this and the other year of 176. Are you meaning on the issue of number of women, for example, benefiting from EPWP programs, 176, and then in 2018-19 the same 176? Do you mean those are the numbers that are in the schools, or are these the schools, 176 schools, or the number of people, that, and then how are they distributed? Because it looks like there are many schools in Western Natal and this one. Then on the normally, in all the presentation, we all have said something about workbook access. I think I did indicate this issue when I spoke to the first presentation of today. That all you were blaming the department. This is for the department to do, more especially on the issue of the workbooks, on the district assessment. This will be a comment. If a province can try something, you try something to track how many learners, as the chairperson has said, do not have workbooks. You see, through your line function that you might get, don't rely only on the TPE to give you that particular information. Even on the other, I think we have said multiple earlier on, but I'm just saying this to those members, the province that joined us later. With that, please. When I was reading on the Mpumalanga presentation, they did not place this issue to the DPE. They indicated what is it that they are doing with the district assessment, what they are doing with workbooks. That's what we need. What is it that you are doing yourself as a province? Not everything that has been taken to the DPE or ARC. All presentation
you are, did not take us through to the readiness of the fourth industrial revolution. We are there, we are moving there. I think it was just close by to the fourth industrial revolution. If most of you are saying the ICT, the broadband, somebody, GPE, and so forth, and you are not saying anything, how ready are you for the fourth industrial revolution as a province? Then we're losing the track. Most of all the projects that have presented here, except for a bit of Limpopo, and Limpopo tried, but did not do enough. It's only Mpumalanga that did at this stage the best. You know, if you can tell us that the percentage, you just say to us, the percentage, this percentage has done, and so you write yes, no. You sometimes repeat MTSF and the comments. That does not give us a clue. Out of how many? If you say 400, whatever has been given, you understand? 400 out of how many? If you are rating it, it must be in percentage. But if the way you have presented it here does not give us clue, where will you be next year? Where will you be? Will you be in the coming years? It does not indicate what. In most all the provinces. But when I was looking at Limpopo when it was presenting Chairperson, you could see that they will tell you we've got 54 things that we've done. We've got 100, we are in this particular percentage, 35. With Mpumalanga, it was exceptional because they even went abroad to indicate it was the budget. So we must praise where praise is due. You don't just say no, yes, approved. Yes, approved. What is approved? What is yes? We don't know. Next time we'll say, ask you, you say, yeah, but I said yes, I did not give you the answer. You see. On Mpumalanga. Chairperson, I like to be a big dog because I like small dogs to make a barking and then I chow it down them. I'm talking on the presentation. You know, when you get the presentation, you must be clear. Even if they don't present it to you, you read it yourself. You can even see there are numbers that they, how many have been said, how many, and they even went extra to say budget. I'm not. Yeah, I'm not representing Mpumalanga. I'm representing the entire country. Yeah. When they are doing best, and politicians must praise people who are doing better. Yeah. Thank you very much. They have qualified. You know, we must quantify everything you say. You must first quantify. We are dealing with numbers. So remember, numbers cannot lie. Cannot lie. But at the same time, when I made my personal oversight, I remember it was 2 weeks back when I called and said through the department, they were on the, all the provinces were on a, what is it, Rehuta, what is it? They were on the Rehuta. When I made, I found that in Mpumalanga, a school, they were not stationary. There was no stationary that was delivered for grade 12 in that minute. I called the what called the director general to say, please, I'm here at school. It was almost after 2 weeks or a week, the school had opened. You know, what I like with the DG came back to me and said, no, now they are delivering. I said, I'm going back there. I went there, I found the truck was there. You see, I don't know what really happened. So it means people can do things when they are committed to do. But what came to my what was the challenge was the issue of modularization. Where principals, where I visited, they said, you know, with the textbooks, we don't have problem with the retrieval. But the problem is those kids who are doing the modularization, they do not want to give back the books because they want to use them to read. So now there's a shortage. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a shortage. If they can do something about those. In Mpumalanga, you said you are inducting 850 newly employed, but it is not explained politically. Who are those teachers? Is the principal? And so for 8015, how do you do that? On slide 56, page 18. The school I visit, another school in the primary school, this is Kanyisile Primary School. I visited at Babaton Umchindi second. That primary has got almost 94 learners in one class. If you can go and check, because those classes were built by a private company a long time ago. If you can look, go and check the infrastructure, the whole infrastructure, on that one, and then you make some recommendation and do something. On the issue of sanitation, if you can also look at the issue of sanitation, Mpumalanga, there's a school called Red Hill Primary. It was got two or three operational toilets out of many, many learners that are there. Like that, lastly, provisioning of admin blocks. You know, I'm sometimes confused when you will find that there's an admin block that is new, that has just recently been built, but there's another old one that is there. Then you, and there's a school that does not have an admin block. But what are our priorities? Is it that we have to enlarge that one, the one that was existing, and then we build a new infrastructure admin block to a school that does not have it, than having two admin blocks in one school? To me, it was a bit perplexing. You can check those things at Mayflower. You can check those things around you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Chairperson.
At least I'm covered by previous speakers. I will take the presentation as they were presented to us. For me, Eastern Cape, the presentation was clear. The way they structured it covered the whole scope of PPN scale. I understand your consent of yes or no, because my comment on that was just if you can just quantify or put the flesh on those yes or no. And on these yes or no, the FUC, no, you don't know. And I disagree that you can put in some of the PPLs and no, or with that reasoning of saying it's because it's a DP competence. You are the problem. You are monitoring it. If you say upgrade learners, upgrade 1 to 9 learners, can't respond because the competence of national education. So what are your LAMs doing? Are they not doing monitoring? What are their findings? What do they say to you when they come back? Are the schools having the workforce or not? Because you have to report it to the DPD that such and such a school is not. So that I feel you could have remarked that whether it's the competence of the department who have such challenges. And even the entrance of great arts, those who have attended the entrance of grade ones, those who have attended grade arts. You know the schools, you know. I was through the back to school campaign. I met a teacher who was just talking to another, complaining that you children who have not attended grade arts are in the problem. That means that the school knows that. What are your LAMs reporting to you if you don't have such information that in such and such there are schools without in grade R and then it's grade one without attending grade one. So I feel those that are always passing the pass to the CPE, they must also give their perspective on this PPM. With Western Cape, what is the difference between CMEX, or how, let me say, you say you don't use SAM, you use CMEX, and is CMEX doing the same work that is SAM doing? That's the question. And even in your PPM 105 on percentage of learners, of 7 to 15 years old attending education. You have a comment there that you don't trust or the reliability of data of the sources is not correct. Is it CMEX who's giving you the data, or how do you get that? Because the age of learners is captured in the attendance, in the admission of learners, of which the schools are supposed to have that. And the 215 PPN grades are practitioners not employed by Western Cape Department of Education, employed by SGP. Who supervises them? Who pays their salaries? Where are these learners accommodated? In which sites are they accommodated where they are being employed by SGP? So where the Department of Education has no say or has no knowledge of them because they are SGP appointed. With 305, you say the registered independent schools causes confusion. How do they cause confusion? Do you know how many independent schools do you have, and each learner, or it's not your competency? So in Western Cape, they are not monitored, they are not known because of the DPE competency. And they are even worried with special schools where you think the data is from DPE. And you know, special schools, I thought that Western Cape is running far ahead with special schools. But it seems like if you don't know them, you don't know how many are they being monitored. What? Because I understand here you say it's a competent, the data is from DPE. What is your data as a province? Do you wait for DPE to give you? You don't. And then even the 701, where learners passed, you were asked about learners passed NSC. Even here you say what do your records tell you on the learners that pass it? Do you have, because I noticed in other provinces they have written the results that we all have, that their province has so many percentage passed and so many, of which do your province capture these results or release them to DPE? Is Mpumalanga sent to Ms. Lucy? Just to be with apology, be not with us last week. We were very disappointed because we're looking forward to see you, especially with the challenge that we got in your province. And we were not there from the day one until the last day. And when we wanted to give you the report about your province, you were not there. and I wanted to show this Oshane, Oshane College, it was a college, it's now a center. Is it part of these two centers that you have mentioned? That one is in Witbank and another one is at Oshabele. Is it part of it? Because really, that teacher center needs work to put it on standard to be one of the teacher centers. Thank you for utilizing, as well as Limpopo utilizing, as they sense so fruitful, because seemingly others have challenges in using every sense. And thank you. And even for utilizing 1+4 or 4+1, I got it as 1+4, 4+1 in Mpumalanga. So I noticed that you are running with 4+4. Thank you. KZM, you have great R community site. You have great R in public school. Are these great R community sites? Because what we got from social development is that they are community sites. They cater only from ZT 0 to 4 or 4.5. So do you have also a great R in community sites, which is under the social development, or what is happening? Because I noticed that you have. And I'm worried about your estimate target. I mean, estimated versus your target then in reality on water, sanitation, and electricity. Because when we visited the province, we noticed that they are quick, especially in rural areas, that have challenges on this. We have touched on the PPN for Outreach on therapies, number of therapies or specialists in special schools. You estimated 151 and now the target is 198. Where do you place these? Are they on site at school level? Are they placed at school or in the district? With Limpopo, you have increased your district from 5 to 10 and still going forward to 13, whereas the Eastern Cape phase is reducing from 23 to 12. How do you divide these districts of that you increase them, you double districts? How many schools are there per district in order to see that? How many schools? And even in your PPN, because the same for Oakley, you say you have a problem in appointing specialists and therapists. What is your challenge? Because you say you advertise and there's none response through the absence of OSD or what. I think on that point you can share with Northern Cape, how have they addressed that OSD that because I remember Northern Cape had one that problem and they resolved it.
Yeah, I'm from general members, because I'm not stopping you, but I'm saying, can you be mindful of time?
I just want
indication that provinces where they won't have light after 5 or 6. So,
okay. On Northern Cape, Mr. Parasi, Ms. Dingwizi has just forgotten to ask you a question that he told me that I will ask it for Northern Cape on IL, the African languages and he wanted to know about Nama or Khoisan language, that the schools that are giving those language things that language, that those language are well invested in Northern Cape. And where do you get this huge number of men that have joined this team in 2017? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to start with the Western Cape regarding the SIM. You mentioned that we are using SENS. I'm a little bit concerned that when it comes to the AG, will that the fact that you have SENS, will it affect your AG report for the...
No,
the Western Cape, they're using SENS, and then they do SIMs that is now being introduced. So, okay. So I just want to find out that would it impact the learner performance, and also will it impact your AG report for this year? If you could just maybe explain that to us. When it comes to Mpumalanga, I've got a couple of questions. Mpumalanga, when it comes to the school that you went to, for instance, it's called, Mkuna, I think it was Mkuna Secondary School, whereby we found out that one of the principal, actually, the performance was so bad that the principal openly said he was hiding in school because he is a SATU secretary. And also, you know, you say that you do monitor principals, but yet you had a principal that was not showing up at school. He just told us, you know, he was hardly at school and all that. So I just want to find out, you know, what other measures they're going to bring in place, because what you have currently, it seems that it's not working, especially for this particular school. Okay, and also the issue of throughout the schools that you went to, there were a lot of teachers that they basically redundant in Mpumalanga who did not, who were supposed to be converted, like in terms of the subjects that they were providing. Some of them, we found that they would be business, they were doing business studies, and now they have to do science and math. And they find themselves stuck with the school finds itself stuck with these teachers, and therefore dropping the performance of the learners in math and science. And some of them, you know, are failing totally dismally throughout their matric. So I just want to find out, you know, what measures are you going to make sure that you, these teachers, they are placed where they're supposed to be, and these schools also receive the teachers that they need, specifically for math and science. And going back to Mkuna as well, they said that last year they didn't receive math and science textbooks. By November, they still didn't have that. They still didn't have math and science textbooks. I know that question was raised, but I wanted to mention the school that particularly said that, you know, they didn't have the textbooks. And also this year, they don't have, the majority of schools were saying that they don't have textbooks, especially for math and science. The teacher center that we went to also, you know.
No, I'm not stopping you. Just to put a pause. Honorable members, the KZN is under pressure. Their last flight is at 5:30. Can I give them just their minute to respond? Because I can see even other, please, so that they move out and we are left with these other problems that are going to remain.
KZN, they mentioned that there's gatekeeping that's going on. I think that's the only province that has come up to say that there's gatekeeping. And you said that you have interventions that you're going to put in place, but you didn't really go into details what kind of interventions are you bringing in. And also, there's a school called Itaba, lower school, higher and higher primary school, where they just walk for 30 kilometers to school from Woodridge Village, Dombivomvu, and Zwilicha. They're actually traveling, walking 30 kilometers to go to school. There's also another school that's called Moyi Primary School,
they are also walking 40 kilometers to go to school. I just want to find out, you know, what, are you aware of this? And you didn't say anything about the fact that, you know, there's a problem with transport. So I'm done with KZN.
But do you have anything for KZN?
Okay, I think most of the issues have been raised, except to say that I have noted the under-targeting on the indicators that has been across, you know, the presentation. Maybe they must re-look into the presentation, Chairperson. And then also I wanted to check on the issues of infrastructure. They have listed them, but I don't know whether there is funding available for that. And then the other point that, maybe the last one, Chairperson, is the issue of the hostel. Why two? Whereas, like, in one of the oversight we had that it's one area that the province was looking into to avoid issues of problems of learner transport. Thank you.
The Isususa Secondary School, we went there, there is water, but the toilets don't have, they are also not flushing. So learners are just going to toilets that are supposed to be connected to water. I just don't find out what tender did they get that didn't connect the water to your toilet.
Okay, madam.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and thank you so much for being considerate, all honorable members. We will, the two of us will split the questions, but maybe starting from the very last one, in respect of the off-learner transport, we're quite aware that we still have a number of learners walking long distances. And when we audited the needs in respect of this area, we discovered that we have learners in the region of 80,000 plus, you know, requiring help in terms of this program. So, but it's, our budget is we have little in the fiscus set aside for learner transport, and therefore we can really not provide for all learners. And recently, I think it was towards the end of last year, we were taken to court by Equal Education, demanding that the department provides transport for schools in Ikoto. So that alone is a big problematic. The department doesn't have funding to redress in that area. The other one, the issue of water, you know, when it comes to water, there are interdependencies. For you, Department of Education, to deliver, you also depend on somebody else. And in this case, we also are dependent on the district municipalities, because water is not our competency. But our competence is that of making sure that we supply JoJo tanks, we supply, you know, water taps and so on.
Sorry, Chair, that school does have a tap water. They have tap water. It's just that it's not connected to the toilet.
I was going to come to that. Oh, it has tap water.
Yeah.
But if we get, yes, this is in which district? Okay. I think there was also, apart from this question, I think there was also another question or a concern by one of the parliamentarians. So I was trying to lump them together. But we will maybe go to the school that we are talking about and check, you know, what is it that is happening. But I was talking about the water challenge that was raised earlier on. To say when it comes to water, really, we do provide aid, but we depend on the municipality to supply the. And in terms of electricity as well, we also depended on ESCOM, you know, to provide or install the grids, you know, electricity grids. So, but in terms of the EPWP beneficiaries and the figures that are recorded there, the EPWP, here we're talking about the 2 million in grant, EPWP grant that was allocated to the Department of Education. So we've employed cleaners there for the ablution facilities, because we realized that some of the schools are very poor in quintile 1, 2, 3, and they don't have cleaners, they don't have class. But we said, through the usage of this grant, let us try and meet them halfway. The inclusive education, I think the comments there were noted. In terms of NSNP, yes, there is termination of the service providers in line with the court ruling, but the department has tried not to allow for a vacuum. So after the termination, there are those that have been granted the opportunity to supply on a month-to-month basis, because this is about the learners who are the main beneficiaries in terms of this program. But they will be supplying month-to-month, you know, until such time that the new tender processes are finalized. The issue of the no cracks, no cleaners, again, we have budget pressures. It depends on whether we have something in the fiscal to redress in that area. Currently, we are sitting with you know, attrition posts for cracks and security guards that have not been filled for quite some time. And the new posts also, you know, can also not be created until such time that we've resolved the budget issues. But what we do when we go to schools and they, you know, during the school functionality monitoring, for instance, they had concerns on about this one, but we're encouraging government bodies to say, in terms of the law and the regulation, you can also really fundraise for a specific project. To say you can fundraise for a security guard so that there's somebody manning the gate, maybe on a daily basis. In terms of the new schools, yes, we can send, you know, a report attesting to the fact that we completed 10 schools at the end of last year, so we can favor the honorable member with a list of those schools. But in terms of maintenance, the National Department has made it compulsory for all provinces to set 20% aside for the maintenance of schools, and we are complying with that directive. I've not heard Muhle Bemvelo. We will go to the school, you know, because I think there is sludging that is needed, and we shall also comply in respect of that one. The Funza Rushaga, yes, maybe the statistics that needs to be confirmed with HR, we will do exactly that. But the way, you know, we've had a number of incidents in the past, though, where Funza Rushaga, you know, teachers were chased away by the governing bodies under the pretext that they were not appropriately qualified. Remember, in the past, they were students or teachers for maths to redress in the area, to assist in the area of mathematics and science. And those that were not found to be appropriately qualified were then chased away, but we will provide, you know, the relevant data or the statistical information. The last one for me is the issue of the special schools. Yes, we have we have in most of them, because we have special schools that are fully fledged in special schools, but with services as well, specialist services, speech therapies, occupational therapies, physiotherapies, and some of them, not all of them, though, have psychologists. But we have them at the level of the special schools, but also at the level of the full service schools, at the full service schools. So at the full service schools, we also have the learner support centers attached to those schools, and we resource them appropriately. I must be honest and say, if we are not at the level that is desired or envisaged because of the budget pressures as well. We have not, you know, but we have also been bailed out by the National Department in terms of the intellectual profound disability grant. It was $5 million was allocated last year, and we're getting in the region, as KwaZulu-Natal, we're getting in the region of $27 million. So we're going to also be employing social workers and these services to deploy, or officials are going to be working, you know, they are not going to reside at the level of head office, but they are going to be servicing districts and will be posted, you know, closer to schools where their services are needed. And remember that in that area also, we're walking the walk with health, the Department of Health, and the Department of Social Development. And allow my colleague also to attend to 1 and 2.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Mine is to respond to the first one, the identified dropout challenges. The challenges are as a result of high rate of substance abuse and child-headed families as a result of HIV and AIDS and other challenges, as well as teenage pregnancies. And then the mitigating strategies that we have come up with, we have My Life, My Future campaigns that we are implementing in the province. We also are paying a stipend to the learner support agents that are on site, conducting a counseling to learners as well as training educators on interventions. we also are transferring funds to schools for the purchase of school uniforms for orphans and vulnerable learners. And also we have expanded NSNP to cover secondary schools, because at that level also learners could not go to school when they can't afford to have a meal. And then educators are trained as well as peer educators. And then the issue of the high dropout rate, which was 4%, we have revised the target because we engaged with the responsibility managers and they've confirmed that they are going to be dropping it by 1% to 3% yesterday, but we could not then capture because the presentation had already been tabled. And then here, it is an observation that there is high dropout rate in our secondary schools, and there is a percentage to that, which is of 10%, as a result of a throughput rate that is dropping. So it is alleged that it could have been as a result of high failure rate at the lower grades, below grade 12, but that still needs to be proven by empirical studies. So we are going to be doing an investigation on the matter and ensure that we intervene. But at the moment, to mitigate that, the circuit managers are to monitor our schools and also submit throughput rates from their secondary schools on regular basis as a report. And the principals must ensure that that data is available. With regards to grade R in community sites. As a department, we had grade R in community sites that we have inherited, and we have ensured that we are providing learner teacher support material as well as subsidized stipend to some grade R practitioners that are in those schools. But also we have attached these schools to the primary schools that are offering grade R. But our province, due to the rurality of our province, you find that it is impossible for us to have grade R learners traveling long distances, and also maybe even in the learner transport that has been alluded to by Mrs. Judy, that we can't afford to even bus all our learners that are in need. So those learners are still kept in those sites. So in the department, we are taking care of the teaching and learning of our curriculum in those schools. And then the principal and teacher absenteeism, the tracking of that. Currently, we are using PESAL data, and that has been a challenge because AG has raised that the department is having a challenge in regards to reporting on learner and teacher absenteeism more especially because we rely only on this PESAL data. But having engaged at the level of the top management, EMIS has intervened to say there is a module that wasn't utilized by the department of tracking the teacher absenteeism, which is contained in the South African SEMS. So hence, this year we are going to be implementing that module in ensuring that responsibility managers, HR, are able to capture and track the teacher absenteeism on a daily basis, and we are in the state of being able to report regularly on this one. So I don't know whether I've
covered it. No. Thank you so much, Caitlin. We know we have discussed better because, as we said, broadly, we want to, those are just broad items, but we want to focus on these indicators holistically. But it's fine. You may be released. You are going to be finishing after the meeting. We know your pleasure. But we'll be zooming into all these indicators. I know honorable members will ask so many questions other than what the mandate of the day, but thank you very much for those responses. Just rush and call them and they will check in whilst we are still driving there. Yeah. Honorable Matias, to finish up your questions, then we are done. Honorable Foto.
Maybe firstly, I must apologize after I have missed my submitted my questions. I will request to go and collect my child from school. Chairperson, I think the issue of coordination, communication, and sharing of information between DBE and the province still arises, no? Particularly after seeing the report by the Western Cape, where they said some of the indicators, they brought confusion. So I think it's a matter that needs to be really looked into, prioritized and tightened, because it has got a bearing on issues of accountability and oversight. The other point is to DBA, is on the issue of the self-diagnostic tests. Western Cape has reported that the tool has not been fully developed. And from our perspective as a portfolio committee, we never got that report, except to say that there was no compliance from the side of provinces. We just wanted to check what are the reasons for that. Why was it not fully developed, so that, you know, we are able to proceed with that function. The other point that I wanted to check with the Western Cape is on the issue of the, where they mentioned that the requirement was too high on the indicators on teachers meeting the content knowledge. What were the challenges? Why did you say that the requirement is too high? And then maybe we can better understand the challenges or the shortcomings of this indicator. The other point, Chairperson, it's the issue of PPM 601 to 603. There seems to be no practical comment from the Western Cape on these items. They talk to sanitation, electricity, provision of water and public schools. I want to know, what is your priority in terms of resourcing these ordinary schools? And, you know, the reason why I'm asking this question is that in some meetings that we have with the DBE, they always tell us that Western Cape tends to deviate. They want to take their own route. They are uncontrollable. So we want to know why are you not following the directives, why it is necessary to do that. And I'm more concerned because these are the previously disadvantaged schools. And even the learners there, they are previously disadvantaged. And we know the situation in those schools, that the resources are not in town for other schools in urban areas. So I just needed to learn to on that one. I had also a question on Mpumalanga on slide 27. There is a mention where you say that the schools visit by the district, right? Even the second and the subject advisors is reserved to at least once a quarter. And we saw even in the recent oversight that there is a need, a strong need for support and monitoring. Where there is a need for monitoring of curriculum management. Also, you look at issues of governance in schools. Most of the schools, it's very few of them in the districts that we visited, where we found that there is stability. Very few of them, but a lot of them, there is infighting driven by power struggles in the schools. So I just wanted to check, how do you ensure that learners get taught, teachers get to teach, and then that there is attention given to this core mandate? The other point that I needed to check relate to the, it's a general point also, Chairperson. Some of the annual targets, they do not make it easy for us to track them, to track their performance. For instance, the department, they are very economical with information. For instance, we don't have access to the PPMs. And they refer us to PPM 1, PPM 2, PPM, and all those things. So I'm just requesting that at least, that information, if it's available, where we have to supply the numbers, let's get the numbers. And then we can always get a reference and an end note to check this document, and then we'll go and find the document. But the issue of numbers is very important. Chairperson, I think I must stop there. Thank you very much for the presentation.
Colleagues from the department, I think before you even respond to the questions that honourable members have raised, as we respond back now, let us tone down to what the purpose of it is for the indicators. I know we have been brought, as I said, the education sometimes, there are so many things that you want to ask, and we always do that, but in our responses now, let us try to tone down to what the indicators, because as we move forward, we're still going to get all those reports going even to the AG, because for the purpose of this meeting was to look at these indicators that are problematic. So as you respond, please let us try to scale down now to what we needed, because for an example, with all the provinces, when it comes to these indicators and the targets that will emanate from that, when it comes to the issues of district functions, I want us to move towards conclusion and to say, if ever really the feeling as to say, when it comes to the issues of targets and the realization of these indicators, so that as we move forward, we have that understanding. There are difficulties in doing that, if ever that is what you said and you are saying, and then explain even further. Because as a portfolio committee, we are seated here when these indicators are there. So we are expecting you as provinces, when it comes to, I make an example, the minimum competences of the district officials. What is it that you are doing? How do we get to know that? If ever there are those difficulties, that is why I say share with us, because most of these questions will emanate from that, and to say, are we able to perform on such an indicator? Performance of agreements for principals. Yes, the provinces have been saying still attached to what you call it, to the ELRC. I mean to say, as we respond, let us scale down to exactly what on the mandate that is of why we are here, because we are basically looking at the indicators, where all these things, they talk to the indicators. Also, the issue of grade practitioners, there is no uniformity. I like it as to say, there are provinces that speak to the practitioners, the training there of what is happening, because that will talk to the indicators and also to the AG's report. Same thing with those provinces without practitioners, to say we use their qualified indicators. So those are the things that I say, they're scaled down towards looking at those things. But for me, the one I think HOD was saying, Northern Cape, when you talk to the issue of the appointment of district directors, those are senior managers. Definitely they need to undergo a competency test. But again, looking at the indicator, it does not specifically say the district director, it says the district officials, of which those are the things that we need to analyze, and so that even we are even assisting us as a committee to say, when we even engage the AG, what is it that you are looking for specifically when we look at that indicator? Yes, with the district official, with the district though we are going to get that even from you, provinces of today, isn't the fact that they have all undergone that competitive test as the district director. But the indicator itself is so broad. And I believe those are the discussions that we are having with the AG, so that we are saying at the end of the day, let us avoid those rates where they can be avoidable. What is it that we do together to make sure that we look at them? So I'm just highlighting those. There are so many of them, but as we respond already, let us scale down and move into the conclusion to talk on the indicators that we're here to talk about. Mr. Gojani, you are the first to respond. Your hand was up first, then I will go to Western Cape.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Honourable MECs and colleagues. Good afternoon. I think the key fundamental issue was more about the alignment. I think because we had to find mechanisms to answer that question in terms of alignment. And our issue as a province in particular was the issue of competency. Because you, for the sake of your reporting in terms of reporting, hence we had to say that you need to have a proper standardized tools for effective monitoring. If they are not uniform and standardized, provinces will report indifferently. And I think that is the point that you wanted to drive. For us here to say we do not differ, but it's about the uniformity in terms of reporting. You need one standard tool for effective monitoring. That's our argument as the province of the Eastern Cape. And I think this session has given us some form of the best practices. What is it that provinces have captured, and how best can we learn from them, so that we are able to go back and say, working with DPE, to say, can we take this particular tool? It seems to be working effective, because I think that those best practices. Secondly, I think unless we agree around that uniformity and standardization of the monitoring tools for proper reporting, then I think we will be able to align. The issues that have been raised by honorable members, for me, are some of them are things that must be included in the next indicators. I'm going to make an example of those, and some can be separated. The first one is about your content knowledge gap. That would be the self-diagnosis assessment, as well as the pedagogic skills. You recall that there was a study conducted by TET. So it's a matter between us as well as the Department of Higher Education and Training to say, how far are we with those recommendations that was agreed upon? Because I'm talking to the question that were raised that needed to be captured. Thirdly, on the issue of the performance agreement, I'm sure that the tools are there, and that is the reality. For the performance agreements of principals have been agreed upon, but the reality of the matter at the center here, and it is about the firmness of the labor relations councils to implement that resolution, so that. Because if you were as provinces were asked to develop different mechanisms and have your different negotiations taking place at the level of provinces, the reality is that whatever conclusion or agreement that you reach at the level of the province is being ratified nationally by the same agency. So we are caught on this matter, and I think we need to indicate the SAS to say that the instruments are there, but it is how best do we finalize them. The fourth point, rushing quickly, is about the issue of broadband. You see, I think this committee needs to meet with the committee of telecoms, because there must be a decision to zero rate data, so that for access to information for education specifically, just like other countries are doing, because data is very expensive. Currently, we can in provinces, for instance, they are coordinated through OTPs, and the time frame, it is the time frame where money is available, but beyond, central department must take responsibility. And one of the things that is too dangerous for us to plant ourselves, until telecoms in the country takes a decision around the zero rating of data for education specifically. And on the specifics, there's a question that spoke to the readiness for the fourth industrial revolution. That has everything to do with the next phase of the indicators. I'll tell you why. It's because it hampers on the curriculum changes. It does have those because there are new subjects that must be taught. And the definition of the LTSM is going to change completely. So it cannot be something that can be resolved at the city, because there was that issue of saying, how ready are we for the fourth industrial revolution? And my condition is that it can be converted into indicators in the next MTSF, because it has got new subject areas, you see, that are contained within it. Yes, we couldn't really come with quarterly reports where we give you data here to see how many grades are, how many. It's because we don't want to report on things that we ourselves are not sure of in terms of the quantities that were requested. Ours was based on what is the mandate for this meeting. It was based on the indicators and the alignment thereof, so that we can agree around their uniformity, and so that we can be able to discuss the locus of authority of the determination of those. Lastly, I think we are convinced that if we have the tools like your SSMs, do we need to improve differently? Do we need biometrics in schools? What is it that we're saying? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kojan, for that. I will get to what you have been saying at the end. Western Cape.
Thank you, members. Just a general comment to start. The derogatory connotations have been noted. It's important to remember that the presentations that we have presented to the House today have been specifically according to the writ and instructions of the letter that we have issued with. With regard to specifically the questions, let me address those. CMIS and SASAMS, it would be helpful if the members who had asked those questions were still here to hear the responses, but I'm assuming that they will have access to it at some point. Western Cape, CMIS and SASAMS, the understanding that needs to be had around this particular PPM for the Western Cape is the principle of the matter. And the principle of the matter is that we are being directed to a specific school administration system in the form of SASAMS. Prior to this, it had been a general school administration system. Western Cape developed CMIS, which is a completely automated online and live tool. And that's the difference between the two systems. The one issue around the PPM for Western Cape is that, number one,
It's the principle of the matter. Direct to a general, it's a general school administration system as opposed to a specific product.
But then I think the fundamental question when it comes to these two things is, I'm not getting in trouble when it comes to...
Yeah, I will address that. I just need to... I will get to that one. Then the other one was, what is the difference between the two, ma'am? The difference is SSM is not online, so it is a manual system, and the upload to the district or the provincial department is still a manual process. It's not automated. Whereas with the system that the Western Cape has, it's all automated. So you have instant access to data. In terms of will we get into trouble with the auditor, because it's being forced into the system and forced into our APP, the only number we can report on in SA SANS are the schools who are using it, using other modules in SA SANS for their own internal purposes. It is not a widely used systemic product in our province at all. And at this stage, it's not going to become widespread. SA SANS will be reported as is with the number 7 as is, which we currently have, with no targets, because it is not the intention of the department to grow SA SANS.
Okay.
There
because
will be
conversation. I think that is where we wanted to get to say, what are your plans towards moving to SA? And so we are saying, at the moment, there are no plans. We are fine with what we are. When you talk of standardization of windows in case there's no intention of moving towards SASM.
To SASM, ma'am, as it currently is, will take the Western Cape backward in terms of its reporting capability, because the SASM's product as it currently stands is an offline product. So it's manual upload, which CMIT is as well, but then to move the data from your school site to your district site and from district up to head office, it's all manual. Whereas currently with CMIS, where you punch it in at source, which is at school, all oversight layers have access to that data in real time.
No, because at the end of the day, it's not a dialogue, but I would love the department to come in there, because that synergy, you know, as to say how, it doesn't exist anyhow or anywhere when it comes even on the reporting. It's one thing that we always cry about as a portfolio committee when it comes to the issues of reporting data and so forth, as to say, with what is happening in Western Cape that is different from other provinces, what is it that you can say at the level of the department? Thank you, Mamie, for
you. So I know that the department at DBE and Western Cape contributes as well financially to the development of an automated SASAMS, and we are looking forward to it as we can. We are looking forward to an automated SASAMS product which DBE, which we contribute to financially as well, Western Cape. Until that time, we will continue to use CMIS because we are able to extrapolate the data at the drop of a button, as opposed to having to go down, layer to layer to get the information. We will continue to report on CMIS to the auditor, and we will include that then as a provincial specific PPM or PPI. In terms of the, again to the member, the PPM specific ones, 101, when we talk about what is the data source, ma'am, around indicator 105, then the problematic one was only that the data source, the denominator data source, comes from the general household survey. So that's a denominator. The numerator is provided by the province, and we have complete oversight, and we know exactly where the data is coming from. Denominator was the one that's causing concern because it needs a specific date and time where a number is taken out and then provided to all the PEDs. 215, the grade of practitioners. The distinction lies within the detail of the PPM, the technical indicator information, and it specifically says that the source data for this number is PERSAL. Grade R practitioners are not captured onto PERSAL because they are employed by SGPs and not by the Education Department currently, which is why Western Cape draws that distinction. It is because the source document that is dictated to us from the TIDS specifically speaks to PERSAL, which makes it. We would be lying if we gave you that information. In terms of where those grade R teachers are, we know exactly where they are. We track them. We know all of that information. We know where they are. We know who they are. We know at what schools they are teaching and all the necessary information. I want to go...
I think even on that point, together, because we said when it comes to this alignment of these learning documents and our ACTs and so forth, moving forward, we're talking even of something driving to... we know we will never perform at the same level as provinces, we'll never be exactly the same, but even on the issue of the ECT practitioners, as to say, what is the general practice? Because we fully understand it's not our provinces where we'll say, when it comes to the ECT practitioners, that is for the SGPs, you know. You are DVE, you play this oversight, or we play oversight over you. So that is another assignment that we need to see from the provinces to the to the provinces, from the district provinces, then national, then so that even for us, we know exactly this understanding that we're getting to here now is to say, usually what is the practice and why, if other provinces, they fall under ADDE and in other provinces under SGP. So I think that's, again, the management that we would be interested to know when you do your summing up.
Madam Chair, just as additional clarification then based on your comments. Western Cape provides training to all ECD practitioners under our domain. We also are on a distinct campaign to upskill the practitioners to the required level as stipulated by DBE as well. The only distinction is that sitting in the TID itself, the technical indicator, it asks for your source document to be PERSAL. And because grade R practitioners are employed by SGPs and paid for by SGPs, however, if there is a teacher in foundation phase who is used by the school in a grade R capacity, that's a different matter. That's for the school to decide how they allocate their teacher allocation. But those teachers would be considered in the foundation phase. That's the distinction that, and if we were true to the TID, then we would draw those distinctions and not lump them all together. In terms of our responsibility to them, we very much take responsibility for the grade R practitioners, the ECD practitioners. Then some of the other technical indicators, 305, let me just go to 402, the data again, ma'am, is from DBE. It is not that we don't have, it is that the denominators are provided by. So the numerators are our data that we have control over. The concern is that we are reliant on data for some indicators that's not necessarily in our control, such as the general household survey data. But for example, where DBE provides us with data, there is a specific date that they provide the data with to us, and then we are able to do the calculation. But it only happens in February. So, for example, in this case, it can't be a quarterly target, is the point I'm trying to make. It will only be a target that is provided right at the end of quarter four, because we're waiting for the information. In terms of all of the exam specific results, remember, this is not, if I look at 701 on my slide, I can tell you, ma'am, that I've made an error on the status. It's not that it's not approved. In fact, it is approved. The comment is just that the final number comes from the NEC. Remember that the Western Cape interrogates every layer right down to question level data for every learner in the NEC exam. So we're able to provide that kind of information as well. The level of detail that we go to, which is also an automated system that we capture at source as well. So there's an edit there, ma'am, where I said not approved. It should actually read approved. So please forgive me for that. Then the other ones that you brought up in particular is 302, 303, 402, and 403. If I could just draw your attention to the fact that, again, this was my fault. It's an editing thing. I copy-pasted it, I think. Of course, you understand this, 2 o'clock in the morning. PPM 302, 303, 402, and 403 are all approved, and there are systems in place. What those ones that you're referring to, where it says there's reservations, the deputation does not achieve, it refers to, if I could, this is getting, there's so many of them, 204, it refers to PPM 202 and 203, but it refers, ma'am, to the inside, the explanation, the definitions and the explanations and how the calculation is done. Our concern is that there's not enough clarity there. So, for example, if I could just read it to you if you want. The appropriate age for children enrolled in grade 7 is 13 years. The number of learners who turned 12 in the previous year is equal to the number of children aged 13 in the current year who are currently enrolled in grade 7 and higher, expressed as a percentage of the total number of 13-year-olds enrolled in public ordinary schools. It's a cumbersome and it will lead to confusion. We're able to report because we eliminated, but Western Cape's concern is that it is a troublesome, let's call it, short definition, and we need to refine it. It's not that we're not able to report, it's just that there needs to be a little bit of a cleanup, and that is what we're highlighting. In terms of the self-assessment tool, a tool has been developed, a standardized assessment tool, because if we're going to compare competency levels of teachers across the country, then there needs to be a standardized tool in order to do that. A standardized tool, this is my understanding, has been developed by DBE and has been piloted in the Free State. I think there must have been some issues that arose out of there, but then the tool was not deployed. We attempted to put a similar product, or I don't know the exact details, ma'am, and I can get to it if I just put my hand up, that the product had been put onto the system, but the product itself was problematic. There was compatibility issues. Hence, we were unable to use the product that had been developed, but it wasn't a complete product, and it wasn't ready for national rollout. Provinces at that stage were instructed to develop their own tools in order to do an assessment. What Western Cape is suggesting is that we have a tool in place where we measure ICT teacher pedagogy competencies. So in other words, if our push is e-learning, then the capacity that the teacher has and the competency levels that the teacher has, because we've got an automated system in place. We have suggested that it might be something national would be interested in having a look at, because the principal that sits within that system can be expanded to include pedagogy itself and content knowledge itself. The system has been developed internally in the Western Cape. It's not, it's not like it's an expensive product that we have to go and buy and develop. It has been offered. In terms of teachers meeting minimum requirements, again, this sits within the technicalities of the PPMs, within the TIS itself, with the technical indicator descriptors, where the minimum requirement is pegged at 80%. So our opinion is that it is high. We report what we have. It's just that that number will then be quite low because we are saying that the minimum requirement is a little too high at 80%. And we would consider when we go again to HEDCOM subcommittee to propose that that minimum requirement be brought down to maybe 65%. Because most universities in any case consider 65% a good enough mark. And if we want to, we can leave it at 70%. But 80 is a little bit high. That's our only concern then. It's not that we're not able to report on it. In terms of the not applicables, again, the member brought up a valid point. Western Cape has been 100% on target with sanitation, water, and electricity. All our schools are 100% covered in terms of our ability to provide those for the last few years, which is why, Madam Chair, it is currently in the system and it's been reported as not applicable because we've moved beyond it so many years ago. However, if it is the consideration that we should put it back in, it will just be reporting at 100%, 100%, 100% again. And we won't have targets because we've achieved our targets quite a few years back. I think I've covered all of that. In terms of the perception that the Western Cape is uncontrollable, I'm afraid I cannot speak to that other than to say that it is very difficult to blindly follow when there are areas that we know is going to bring the sector into trouble. And if by our raising these concerns, it raises the level of the sector as a whole, then we are quite happy to be that for people. I think I've covered it now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. But I think we need to go back to that statement and to your response. Maybe the way we keep up with the uncontrollability and you also responding as to say you are happy being led. So it's one thing that we need to look at and clean up from our discussion today. Thank you very much.
Just to clarify, I'm sorry. I'm not implying that I'm happy to be uncontrollable.
Okay.
I'm saying it's a perception and I can't speak to it.
That is why I was going back to that, to say maybe we needed to clean that up. From
I don't know what that means.
I don't know
what specifically is being referred to, so I can't speak to it. But what I'm saying is
I would be happy
to raise issues that are concerning and that in our experience, we know is going to be problematic for our colleagues who maybe don't have the mature systems that we have in the Western Cape. And similarly, where we don't have mature enough systems and we know we're going to be in trouble, for example, in PPM 219, we would prefer to raise that rather than to say we comply when we know that we don't have the capacity to do so.
Much. Limpopo, when we first got the results of the study, I think all the members in the committee were looking for scripture and congratulations. The percentage was to keep up with that momentum.
Thank you, Chairperson. There are just a few issues which I may be able to cover in less than 5 minutes. In terms of the performance, learner performance, those schools that districts that perform very well would perform high and those low would perform very low. We have picked that up and in 2017 what we have done, we have cleaned Vembe district and Skukule and also two took 5 circuits within the two district, 5 from Bembe and 5 from Kukune. That is why also, if you have looked at the results, Kukune has improved by about 5.5%. So it's beginning to give us some positive results in that aspect. In terms of the retrieval of the LTSM, we do have a policy that we are implementing within the department. But what we also do over and above that, we set a target in our APP, which we communicate to all our schools in terms of what is the retrieval rate that we expect from the various schools. And we also issue with them with a template that they must then report back by a particular date. In terms of district functionality, I will also link it with the question that was raised by Honorable Costa and also Honorable Basson, that it may look as if increasing the number of districts from 5 to 10 is going to cost us more in terms of our COE. But having 5 districts, it becomes problematic because there are certain costs, certain activities that we don't necessarily cost. For example, the time that one would take from a central point to the furthest school and the impact that that person is going to do at a school level when that person will be exhausted from the driving. So to have the 10 districts, even if we are saying we are supposed to have about 18, given the number of schools that we have in the province, which are over 3,800, so we should be sitting at 13 districts. But it improves in terms of the effectiveness and the impact that the district officials are able to make. Also in terms of your cost for accommodation, your travel, and all these other related costs, it then gets reduced. Also, if I can just indicate that when we made an analysis in terms of our COE budget, taking it from 2015-16, 2016-17, and where we are currently, we have been able to reduce the ratio from 87.3, 82.18 to now 80 to 20. So it's beginning to give us a good result. Also, let me link it with the number of schools that we are supposed to have in a district. In terms of the guideline by DBE, is that we are supposed a district must at least have 75 to 300. But currently, we still have districts that would have about 500 schools. So this is what we still need to also continue to reduce. In terms of the monitoring of our educator and principals, we're also using SHM. But what we've also done, we've adopted the DDD, which is the data-driven district, which is also a reporting system from SHM, and also appointed the ENIS officials, who now begins to capture data not necessarily over a month or so, but also on a weekly or on a daily basis, so that we're able to get real-time information. And also issues of surprise visits that we also conduct also assist us in this regard. On the issue of the impact on the full service, the budget, on the budget for full service schools, we haven't assessed that, because we include that in our program too, which is public ordinary schools, but we can be able to pull up the data because we know the number of full service schools that we have, which is 21. On the issue of the workbook, yes, we said it's the function of DBE in terms of the provisioning, but the monitoring as to whether all our learners in our various schools have got the workbooks, we do that. Also on the template that we require our school principals to report either shortages and surpluses so that we are able to take it further with DBE. On the issue relating to our grade R's, what we are pushing for is that all our primary schools must have grade R's. Currently, over 2,000 schools already have got grade R's. And the ECD practitioners that we have appointed are over 3,000. We have trained about 235 on NPF level 4, over 200 on NPF level 6, and we are in the 2018 going to be training about an additional 100 on NPF level 6. The challenge in this regard is that given the numbers that we have grade R in our schools, is that because of the number of educators that we would require and the ECD practitioners that we have, we end up using our professionally qualified educators to teach in our grade R, but it's the process that we are currently facing out so that we then also have a relief in terms of our budget. Chair, those were the issues that were raised for Limpopo and the advice that was given in terms of how Northern Cape managed to address the challenge around the appointment of the practitioners who will engage with Northern Cape, so that we are able to see and learn how they have managed to get around this aspect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm not going to respond to the questions that the other colleagues have responded to, particularly those that are addressing the same as what is obtaining in Mpumalanga. We are also noting some of the issues that the Honourable Members are raising. For instance, those that are dealing with overcrowding and the provisioning of infrastructure and basic facilities in our schools, and we will be following up on those. There are a few things that I want to respond to. Firstly, issues relating to textbooks. As it relates to the retrieval of textbooks, we are targeting 100%, and we're using the same systems as Limpopo has indicated. But in addition to that, for this year, there is an agreement in the sector that we will be utilizing the module on LTSN management from the Free State. So we're all looking forward to that so that we can deal with this matter. But it is our intention that all schools must retain whatever textbook that they have in their hand, mainly because we also facing budget pressure to provide additional supplies of textbooks. And as it relates to the MST schools, in August, September last year, we spent 21 million providing textbooks for all those schools that are in the MSTA, the 101 schools. They ordered textbooks for grade 11 and grade 12, because this year they're providing math and science as compulsory subjects for the first time for all the learners in grade 12, so it's the first time. And we have provided all those textbooks, but we will follow up on those schools that say they haven't received the textbooks. We have not been able to provide a full top-up of textbooks to all our schools, but there are selected schools, those that are introducing new subjects, those that are introducing new grades, the technical subjects, the MST we have provided for those schools. It's true, and we're noting what Honorable Mguni raised in terms of learners that are modularizing, because we have not picked that up, that the learners have taken their textbooks with them. So we would be following up on that one. We need to find a mechanism of providing additional textbooks to those schools. And in terms of the MSTA, there were a number of questions around the MSTA, the Wheat Bank, the EDC. The EDC in Hoshani, I agree that it is in a horrible state because it was affected by the storm on New Year's Eve. So it is one of those areas that were affected by the storm, and it is in our plan to fix all those facilities that were storm damaged during that time. The hub, the MST hub in Wheat Bank has a broadcast studio. It is a fully fledged studio established in the institution where we are ourselves broadcasting lessons to the 101 secondary school. So it's not a radio broadcast, but we also use radio to broadcast the lessons. And the schools, the 101 schools and the secondary schools and 49 primary schools are being progressively provided with ICT resources so that we address the issue of the fourth industrial revolution. I'll only speak to these ones. Okay, there were issues of the MSTA teachers that are trained in the MSTA. These are teachers that are in the system. The MSTA is an in-service center, if you want to put it like that, an in-service center. So the teachers are already in the system, and they go through the into the center for five or whatever number of days for them to be trained. Yeah, there were questions around Tabachweu. the schools that we are closing, I'm not going to mention them by name, but I do have them by name. These are non-viable schools, and there is a school that the honorable member indicated that it has 300 learners. It's true, it's Bosfontein, it has 300 learners, but 192 of those learners are being bused into that particular school from other farms. So if you're removing those learners from the farm, then that school becomes unviable. So that the whole school will then be closed, and all those, all the learners will then be taken to the Tabachuru boarding school. Let me end the honorable chairperson, but we are noting the other issues that require our attention.
Thank you very much. I will give to the Northern Cape, then to the DBE. Then I will summarize and close.
Thanks, Chairperson. If I have to respond directly to the question directed to the Northern Cape, the issue of the impact of the increase in learner numbers in terms of the past. Certainly, honorable way, we've been raising this the last 4 years at every opportunity we have in terms of PMTEC process and the MEC's one-on-ones in terms of the MEC of finance and our MEC. For whatever reason, I'm not sure whether our treasury is not giving us in terms of learner numbers, but what we know is nobody has put differently what they say is the learner numbers in the province. What was comforting for me was what we claim is what is official in the last report of the FFC, the Finance and Fiscal Commission. What we say is our numbers in the province is what is in that document. The FFC then advises the treasury in terms of distribution of the resource in the provinces. We're hoping that at some point we'll be listening to the very things in the report, so it's not for the first time that we are raising it here. Then there is the issue of our IOL program for the Northern Cape. We participating with the introduction of Situala and Easy Closer. As we speak, we having 8 secondary schools that are offering and Easy Closer for the first time in the history of those schools that are exported to schools. And then we've got something like 12 primary schools that never used to offer both Situana and Easy Closer. NAMA has been introduced as a pilot in 2 of our schools that are bordering Namibia. We've got schools that are bordering Namibia in those areas of Upington and Namaqualand. And through our MOU that we're looking together as part of regional development, there's a lot of work that we've done between ourselves and the Karas region within Namibia, together with PANSALP. In fact, PANSALP is the one that is assisting us greatly with the material that would be used for now. But one was hoping that, as part of closing, Chairperson, in your request was, what are the things that continues to make us different when we are not supposed to be different? I think it was Honorable Nkudu who was saying he doesn't remember us being a federal state. What is happening in the Western Cape should necessarily also happen in the Northern Cape, because we are a unitary. 1996, when we adopted the National Education Policy Act, it was an understanding that children in South Africa, in terms of exercising their right, they will do so uniformly anywhere they are in this country. And clearly that speaks to the coordination role. The coordination role of TBE in ensuring that there's uniformity. For example, I was listening to the colleague from Limpopo who was saying they are finding relief because they are able to reduce they are spent in terms of personnel versus non-personnel. But majority of us, that's where the problem is. It would be interesting to know what Limpopo is doing, such that they are able to reduce the spend between personnel and non-personnel in favor of growing non-personnel. For many years, we know that the Eastern Cape has had that problem, where in quite a number, a significant number of their educators were, so to speak, in excess, and they could not be moved. And that is why they continue to have a problem with their personnel passage. So what becomes important is for us to find that uniformity. It's for DBE to start looking at those kind of things. How do we assist provinces that have got these kind of problems, like we are having a budget that does not grow when the number of learners are increasing? In terms of the provincial equitable share, our component in the sector brings in a level of a province 48% of what any province should get as an allocation. Is it indeed the case? Because we've got information that we are getting less than 48%, even though the component, which has to do with the number of school-going age children in a province, weighs 48% in the formula. But what gets allocated to the department is not 48%, it's something less than it. To what extent can DBE intervene in cases like that? Because at the end of the day, this being a concurrent function, after them, the Minister of Basic Education is the one that must carry the blame. So in a way, somewhere we need to have the DBE, number one, doing that coordination, number two, insisting on its uniformity. The issue of ECD is a big issue, because all of us, we are worried that the number of ECD practitioners that we are training and ensuring that they get a qualification up to NTF level 6, in itself is worrisome, in the sense that at some point they will be expected to be appointed with the same conditions of employment like any other educator in the system. Remember, the only reason why we are not paying them anything equivalent to a salary level 7 is because of the qualification. But all of us are training, and we are saying we want them to acquire an NQF level 6, which would be a full qualification, and that will allow them to get registration on the South African Council of Educators. Will be able to carry that salary bill, because all of us will be having more in terms of what we are having as educators in the system. So it's not an easy thing. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Norman Cape. And I think I read the question that you already said. A constitutional matter. Where we need to try by all means to bring about these issues of standardization and the uniformity, as you are saying. But when it comes to the decisions that the provinces are saying, really, we always say we never prefer the committee. Sometimes we even put the minister at the corner where she herself doesn't have power to go to the provinces and change. But there are issues where we are always saying it will depend on the willingness of the provinces to be. When you say we are prioritizing the issues of education, do we really see that practically happening in the provinces? But we won't stop trying to knock and see to it that we one day we reach there. But really, I think it's a huge challenge that we are faced with as a cultural committee and together with all the PDUs. Because sometimes you'll come here and complain and say we don't have finances. Not that, as long as that equity share and the decision is made at that level. So we fully understand sometimes the little that you can do where you want to achieve what you want to. We all envisage to do, we reach that point. But really, as I'm saying, this constitutional is a constitutional matter of which broadly so it needs one thing. It's one thing that we need to look at, and I won't be shy to say that even us as the ruling party with all the parties that are there, it's one thing that we need to look at, just to say, how do you manage this issue of concurrent functionality?
but those departments are still there because to the challenges is a problem. Ms. Rebecca.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm just going to try and answer, make just a few comments based on what you said. Firstly, just to acknowledge, Chair, and you know, that the meeting was extremely helpful, and an eye opener for us in a big way. And we thank you for arranging it. And the question of whether we're a federal state, you know, are very important because clearly we have challenges. The indicators and the targets are meant to be for the sector. And how we get to the, you know, they're inputted into through the various sectors. But, you know, I want to emphasize again that I think we have a challenge because many of them are largely are embedded and guided by national policy. And we all know the processes of developing policy. Now, Chair, also just to say, our understanding, and I think all of us in the sector, is that they are not meant to be about the different practices, but what is expected of all of us in the sector in the various key national priorities. These are national priorities that we've all agreed to, and these are set within that context. It will not always be exactly as everybody wants, but at a minimum level, we are all expected to comply to the extent that is possible, you know, within the challenges that you outlined. For me, one major gap as I was sitting listening, and that's why we can have no real response, we listen and we want to propose how we can take it forward. But for me, there's also a gap at a strategic level of leadership in the various provinces expressed in the EEE between the and the technical implementation, the technical experts who then sit at HESCOM and some of whom were here today presenting. And I think if you remember what happened with the Northwest presentation, that disjuncture for me was really highlighted because clearly the presenter knew what she was talking about and knew it well. But the HOD was able to come in and provide the context and actually correct and, you know, sharpen the presentation. I think there isn't always that, and unfortunately sometimes we come and our HODs aren't able to be there. You could tell the difference also when the HODs were here because that leadership becomes very clear. And I think for me, it's a pity that some of our HODs, you know, because of other pressing commitments, couldn't be here, as was our duty, because I think this is a very important discussion. Chair, I think, I do believe also from the presentation that because we're listening, that there probably is a lot of refinement that's also necessary, a level of refinement that's necessary to clear these indicators and targets. So, and I believe that's not something that can be done at a technical level because some of those classifications are about I don't know that you use strategic, but it's about the people at the head of these departments really clarifying and understanding and agreeing at some point what we will all commit ourselves to and what is not doable. For instance, if you, and I think there's a need therefore to take time out and look at these indicators and targets and try and clarify, because we can't come here all the time with target indicators that are not aligned and present as if we don't belong to one sector. Your example of for instance, of the, when I talk about classification, your example of the district issue, for me was also, you know, it helped me also with my own thinking. Because, for instance, if you're looking at the issue of competency around districts, and you did say it's too broad, it is true, maybe we put that based on what we see on the ground. Firstly, on those requirements for all the directors to go to continuity assessment, our monitoring shows that is not the case. There are still provinces that are point, and these people don't go to continuity assessment. And then we talk of district officials. Again, it's looking at practice and looking at best practice. Some of the provinces recognize that the importance of competencies doesn't lie only in the district directors.
but also in the people who are there, competent circuit managers, competent traffic advisors. So some of us have already led the way and started with this competency assessment. But I agree that it needs to be clarified. And maybe the only thing that I would like to just respond to a bit is what Honorable Baton raised, which links really to how people, how provinces decide on the sizes. There is a policy on the roles and responsibilities and organizational features, one that was approved in 2013, and an amended one that was now approved by CEF. And that's what guides. And it is also based by our, I mean, on our monitoring and seeing, in fact, what becomes unmanageable in provinces. Chair, I think in conclusion, I'd like to say from where I sit, we believe, we talk about this as an interview team, that we believe that this is something we should raise with our meeting. We believe that it's something that needs to be a subject of an intensive headcount discussion to look at this, because we cannot come to this like this all the time. It is linked, and I think Mr. Bojana talked about the locus of authority, and I think at some point that also happens. Once those decisions are made, I think there must be that, and there must be clarity. Chair, just to say we've heard you. It's a pity that the DG is not here with us, but we think it is a very, very important meeting and it helps us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Obika. Thank you very much to all the provinces that we're here. Really, even on our side of the control committee. This exercise for today was a kind of even guide our thinking as we engage further with all the topics that we are going to be discussing. But as well promises to be together with the provinces. So if you believe that this is one topic discussion that will take up with to your these levels where you meet, where you try to drive the sector forward, and yeah, we'll continue to be here to engage. I know engaging with the provinces. But thank you very much, provinces. We always say we know sometimes we don't have that much of direct interaction with you, but wherever we need you, wherever we have topics where we feel we need to sit down under one roof like this, we are always there to come in and into the call that we made to you. Thank you ever so much. We know we have stretched so much. We didn't think our discussions would take this long. More well good people will be in touch, will continue to